Damn Film Vault. Yes, indeed, it's the Film Vault. Welcome, everyone, to the Film Vault. This is Anderson. I'm Brian Bridger. We're your hosts for today. Top 5 Races Against the Clock. Countdowns, Races Against the Clock. A good topic, Anderson. Where'd you come up with this one? You texted me about it earlier last week. And you're like, yeah. Hey, what would you say? You said top 5 something. What'd you call it? I'm looking it up. It's a collaboration with you and me. You threw out the idea.
I do this thing where, like, I'm sitting in my backyard. Atticus is taking a nap. I'm taking care of business with this and that. I got the laptop out there a lot of time. And then something will get in my craw, and I'll be like, fuck. What is our topic? We don't have a topic for this week.
You said top 5 countdowns. You said, like, the clock is counting down.
And then I'm like, I just kind of go in this meditative state where I just, like, focus for a few minutes, and I come up with some topics. Much to my chagrin, because then you're right, because you continue to say that we're never going to run out of topics.
I know. Don't you hate having
a catch-22?
I know. You want to bury it? You want to, like, forget about it?
I came up with that and a few others, and it's not bad. We see it all the time. It was almost a trope there in the 80s for a while.
It is a trope. It's on TVTropes.com.
Wealth of
resource.
I don't know what TV Tropes has to do with this program. It's got film right in the title. It's called The Film Vault.
They cover all media.
Okay. You know what? I did not find the breadth that I thought I would find.
Really?
I did not find the YouTube videos. Some of my picks I wanted to put on there, but I couldn't find the proof. I'm not gutsy enough to just go off my memory.
Exactly.
Even like a movie that I've seen a number of times, Galaxy Quest. I doubt it's on your list, but I remember something really funny. I remember like the clock was counting down. They had to get a red button, and then they got there just in the nick of time, and it stopped at like 17, and then it started up again. It started counting down again because it has to stop at 1.
This leads me into something I want to ask you about.
I couldn't find it on YouTube though. I could not find that clip. I couldn't find a lot of the clips that I thought of on YouTube.
Spoilers for
YouTube.
This episode are going to be very difficult to avoid.
Yeah. So I've got mine demarked. Denoted. So I'll say, if you've not seen this movie,
right?
This is my pick,
right? So if you're riding your bike, this episode—that's
a callback.
This may be one that you want to enjoy the first segment and the next one, cautiously. Maybe listen while you're not riding.
Yeah, and you know what? My movies are big movies for the most part. Most everyone's seen them, and I'll caution everybody. And
most of mine are also minimum 10 years old.
Brian's callback there is a reference to a listener who sent us, I believe, it was an email, maybe a tweet. I got in touch with us somehow a while ago.
I think it was an email.
Very upset about a spoiler that we did on the show. Said he's on his bike, riding his bike, listening. We appreciate him listening to the program.
Well, what happened was,
but he couldn't get to his headphones.
Yeah, we had been doing our best to, if we were about to reveal a spoiler, say, hey, spoiler coming up, this is your chance to hit the fast forward button a couple, 2-3 times, ample time, and then we go into it, and this guy's comically, I think he was trying to be funny. He's like, he may have been on his bike, but he's like, listen, I'm on my bike, I can't get to the fast forward button fast enough. It's like, all right, for literally the one guy who our listenership of one who can't get to the button fast enough is now dictating how we do the show.
Yes, and we continue to bring that up. Also,
we are catering the minority, minority.
I like to cater to the minority.
You do?
Yeah.
You absolutely do.
Well, you're a panderer, and you like to speak to the masses and try and ingratiate yourself to as many people as possible. I don't take that route.
It's called broadcasting.
It's called ridiculousness, and we are definitely narrowcasting here. Hey, let me tell you, as I say fuck into the microphone, we are narrowcasting, my friend. All right?
And how?
Brian, don't say however.
What are you going to say?
Don't say that. Also, Mouse died. A few people have been reaching out recently saying we're kind of newer to the program. Mouse died.
An old reference.
Thought we'd give a quick little update on that, or not an update, but a refresher.
Yeah, because there are people who started listening since we started doing
Brian, as some of you, I imagine some of you may not know, but Brian was afflicted with a brain tumor years and years ago. And it was but I don't really think of you as afflicted.
Thank
so
you. I was going through treatment for brain tumor.
But he was given a death sentence, as doctors like to do. And, it was a very trying time in his life, obviously, and those who know him and are around him. And it was a big part of his life, and it the aftermath definitely crept onto the show, and Brian came back. Some might say too soon. I wouldn't, but some might say too soon. If he was an athlete, maybe it was a little too soon.
It wasn't. I definitely wasn't back to 100%.
No, you were slurring your words still a little bit. I mean, I remember tears coming into my eyes when I saw you in the studio for the first time, and you were kind of limping about. Mm. But I'd still have to fuck with you because that's kind of how
that's what we do. We wouldn't film ball otherwise.
Like, I think I'm one of your only friends that came over and took you out to a movie and still gave you shit,
right?
Isn't that
funny? I was just thinking about that. No more. You know what? I was thinking about no more than 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Because I was going to the bathroom. Like, Anderson, button up my pants.
Because I would imagine that a lot of your friends who, like, went to school with you and stuff like that, it was, it'd be incredibly uncomfortable.
They unbuttoned my pants.
Maybe because I've been around, like, you know, really sick people a lot. So it wasn't that uncomfortable for me. And I know that people that are afflicted... at times, like you don't want to be treated any differently.
You also, and I mean this in a very nice way, so please don't take this the wrong way. You also,
how dare you?
You also foisted yourself upon me. You came over like, we're on a movie. I was like, all right, here we go.
Yeah. I knew that you were probably going to be a little timid.
Whereas all my other friends were keeping a respectful distance.
Right.
You were like, we're on a movie.
Yeah.
Pack it up.
It was a fun time.
It was a good time. I still remember that day.
All right.
So
Brian's on the show and he said something and he slurred his word. This is like two or three episodes back in, I believe. Gio would know. I said the mouse died.
No. He said what happened? No, you said to me. He said what happened there? I said mouse died. Uh-huh. And you're like, the mouse died? And I'm like, no, my mouth's dry.
Oh, your mouth's dry. Yeah.
You're like, the mouse died.
And it became a thing. As things
happen.
We
had a t-shirt. The mouse died.
Things like little things like that happen. And so everyone's, you know, and now everyone's in the know if you're listening to this episode.
So the mouse does still occasionally die.
Finally, before we move on to our actual episode, back to last week's episode, Brian. I don't know if you took a hailstorm of shit fire from people about Ready Player One and Star Wars involvement, but Star Wars was involved. So us talking about the evil mouse and him not allowing Star Wars to be a part of Ready Player One. Evidently, there were Star Wars references and whatnot. Somebody sent me a cunty email.
Were there visual references they mentioned it?
Mention is one thing. I think you could, like, talk all about, like, Han Solo.
You
can talk whatever you want.
Clerks talked about Star Wars.
No, somebody pointed out some actual, Star Wars visual references and that Disney did play ball. I know that Giovanni sent me he didn't just send me shit. He sent me a link, you know, explaining that Disney realized they would be very party poopers if they said no.
Sure. Dear Anderson, first of all, you suck.
Sorry. But they didn't lean on Star Wars.
No, not at all.
You'd expect them to. Speely showed some...
I don't remember a specific reference other than him wanting Millennium Falcon at one point.
Speely showed some restraint there, I guess.
Indeed.
Maybe he just hates Lucas.
That would have been a touchstone to really lean upon.
Would have been. Yeah. Can you imagine him just walking around in the Oasis and with the AT-ATs everywhere? I'd be an AT-AT.
Instead of the one scene that you and I both enjoyed, it could have been on Hoth. Ooh, that'd be pretty sweet, though.
Oh, I see what you're saying. That middle scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Could
have been Endor.
Would have been upsetting. It would have felt like real pandering.
Yeah, it would have felt a little bit,
I mean, what Speely chose there was not pandering, which was somewhat surprising when the rest of the movie is a pander fest.
Pretty sweet.
Hey, and about that movie, you know, here we are a few weeks removed from Ready Player One, and I gotta say, I like that middle scene, which we won't speak about, for those of you who have not seen it. However, what's sticking with me more is that ridiculous car chase scene in the beginning.
Oh no, I disagree
with the massive behemoths were involved.
Good. It's good, but I did.
That's sticking with me more. Now maybe it's because a friend of mine, fuckhead that he is, let me know about what was going to be in the middle, so it didn't come as a surprise.
Yes,
so perhaps.
I wonder what his motivation is.
I don't know. He sits down. And he's like, so I saw this last night, and you know they're trying to figure this out. And I'm like, well, don't tell me what it is. He's like, and he just looks at me dead in the eyes. He goes, no, I'm going to
that
tell you.
That sounds like Karana.
I'm going to tell you
it's
right
not Karana,
now.
Though,
and I'm like, don't. And he's like, and then he just says it. And then he continues to talk.
Was it my Karana?
No, it wasn't.
It sounds like Karana move.
It was my buddy Travis. He's in my movie. He plays the Mormon in Mormone, and he actually plays a professor in Groupers. Look at that. We're 6 minutes in. This first time in
first Groupers.
All right, let's move on to the program.
You want to talk about the flicks we've seen?
Let's do it.
I was assigned a film. Let's get this out of the way. I was assigned a film from 2005 called The Weatherman. The Weatherman I had not seen, directed by Gore Verbinski.
Got a text from you.
We're going to go over that. Gore Verbinski, starring Nicolas Cage.
Preposterous.
Michael
Caine.
It didn't sound like that.
Michael
Nicholas
Caine.
Holt, Hope Davis, and Gemini De La Pena plays his daughter.
Yep. She was she's what brought this to the table because she was on my list.
Oh, rotund.
Rotund female character.
She was rotund and her life was, her life suffered as a result. I mean, she was sort of a miserable little kid. You know, I think a lot of that to do with the fact that her parents were divorcing.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
I feel like she was a realistic daughter in a big Hollywood movie, whereas you usually have the cute as a button little girl, right?
Sure, quipping, making little
and
quips.
And I appreciated
I agree. First thought, literally first thing I wrote down, first thing I thought, oh no, is Michael Caine going to attempt an American accent this
movie? Michael Caine.
Christy walked in halfway through the movie.
Who's Christy?
Christy, my wife, and I was watching the film. And I was
you have one of those?
I do, and I was like, Christy, I can't be the only one under this roof to witness this. And I made her watch a scene with Michael Caine. Mm-hmm. And she goes, her first thought was, is he supposed to be Southern? No, he is not supposed to be Southern.
Why not? How do you know? Did they get into his background?
He is he was supposed to be Southern.
How do you know that?
Oh, boy. Look, I know you give me crap, and I do bring it upon myself sometimes for letting little things trip me up.
Yeah, you get tripped
movies.
Up. I mean, when I think of Weatherman, Michael Caine, I barely remember him being in the movie.
It's like, okay, one time my parents were making dinner a long time ago for their friends, and they're barbecuing, and they're making, you know how you make gravy, like you collect the drippings from the whatever.
It's called a roux, right?
Yeah, then you make, that's like two different things. But a roux is very difficult. Very difficult.
I just learned about roux because Atticus changed the channel the other day, and then there was some rotund women on the TV talking about seven different kinds of roux, and they had, and I'm like, it's fucking gravy, and I changed the channel.
It ultimately is. So my parents are making a roux or a gravy, as you were, and a piece of charcoal fell in the drippings, and they got it out. They attempted to fish it out.
Where are you going?
They made the gravy. And everything that touched the gravy was ruined. Mm. Even though it was just one little thing, every bite they had reminded them,
ridiculous.
This is ruined.
That's ridiculous. Hey, you can say that about a score. You can say that about a cinematographer and the way that they shot it, perhaps. You can't say that about like a B character in a fucking movie that it's not in every scene.
What did I text you? Hold on.
You just said it's the worst thing ever committed at a film or something. Something over the top, filled with hyperbole. All right, don't look up your text. All right, continue talking about Weatherman. You're doing a disservice to the film. I will look up your witty text.
My second thought, oh no, is Nicholas Holt going to attempt an American accent this whole time? His accent would have been the worst thing I've ever heard had I not seen a worse one in that very film.
Well played,
that
sir.
That said. Yes, this definitely qualifies for top five rotund characters. Maybe think of an idea. I don't know how we would phrase it, but like top five sad sacks. Like Nicolas Cage is like sad dad. He's like a recently divorced dad of two, and his kids aren't huge fans of his. And he's this weatherman in New York. No, he's in Chicago. And he got the call. Not the call, but he was asked to submit for the open weatherman position on Hello America, which is sort of obviously a Good Morning America type thing. It's a nationally syndicated program. This is his dream.
Program.
And he's got this sunny, no pun intended, on-air personality. His name, he goes by like Johnny Spritz or something, or Danny Spritz.
Spritz.
And he has this sunny on-air personality. Like he's a weatherman. There's not a lot of dour weathermen out there. And, but he's this, sad sack, guy off the air. And it's an interesting contrast, very reminiscent of a movie that came later, for me, A Serious Man, the Coen Brothers movie. Mm-hmm. Like it's got that sort of downbeat dad, the son and daughter who may or may not like him, going through a divorce, obviously.
It felt rich. This movie felt rich with characters.
It did. The characters are very well developed. It felt like a Coen Brothers movie. It had that sense of sad, empty humor. Like there's this part where, he and his separated wife, Hope Davis, they go to marriage counseling and the couple's counseling. And the exercise is write a note about something you hate about the other person, fold it up, give it to them, and then never read it.
Right.
That's a trust exercise. Yes. Never read the note. Mm-hmm. But just you'll have it, and it'll be trust between you and your partner. And of course, Nicolas Cage immediately goes to the bathroom, sneaks off, and opens up the note to read it. And as he's opening it up, a black guy walks in, one of the couples, and he walks in the bathroom, and Nicolas Cage goes, "Sup?"
Cage is the best.
It was such a perfect moment. Such an awkward, "Sup?" The juxtaposition was great. The through line of food being thrown at him was odd. I don't know if that felt a little.
It was for the slow motion shots. Yeah, I felt like it was made for that. Those shots were intended for the trailer.
Yeah,
which the trailer was rife with.
True. That said, this is a good movie.
Solid movie.
Not, I wouldn't call it a fun movie, but it's a good movie. If you like
Cage makes it fun.
If you liked A Serious Man by the Coen Brothers, you will like this movie.
That's a fun movie. One of the funniest. Shots I've ever seen.
Which one?
And there was no dialogue. It was just him walking home and the kid walking home and the bully coming after him. And the camera just pulls back to reveal. It's just a great fucking shot. Right. The redheaded bully at the end of the street, the big guy.
Yeah, I remember him.
So good.
I remember that shot.
Such a great shot.
Anyway, Weatherman, good movie.
All right, moving on. Now, we should converse more often throughout the week.
We do no pre-production except for me to tell you how much I hate Michael Caine's accent.
Yeah, I found your text, by the way. Would you like to hear it?
I would like to hear
I'm going
to
read it, though, in my own choosing. My own voice.
Don't do the Brian voice.
Watching it now, Michael Caine's American accent is outrageous. Truly one of the worst things ever committed to film.
Yeah, it does sound like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was actually recording. Sound,
but I didn't remember sending you a voice memo, but yeah, I suppose I could have. I suppose I could have. Yeah. All right.
That was verbatim how you left it.
All right. So yeah, we don't do any pre-production.
No.
You were saying we should talk for him.
I saw a film.
What'd you say?
Shh.
All right, I'm ready.
Quiet Place.
Oh. Let's talk about A Quiet Place.
Yes.
Oh boy.
Because I don't know how to talk about this.
This will require much Patreon.
We have this to do require, a separate discussion.
There will be
Thank
a
God. Okay, good. Thank God. Because you know what? The old Brian would have come in and said, I didn't see a quiet film. I saw Cock Blockers. And thank God you've come a long way. And we get to do this. Okay, cool. So let's give a brief overview, thumbnail, and then we can get
into it. When you brought up Ready Player One, I hadn't known if you'd seen A Quiet Place, and all I can think of is like, you know, when you back when we were dating, we used to meet, not you and me, but we were dating other people. You'd meet a girl and you get infatuated, and like you wouldn't be able to think about it.
Mr. Analogy today.
Well, that's how I feel at Ready Player One and A Quiet Place. Like, but I was talking about Ready Player One. I'm like, you were. All I can think about is A Quiet Place.
Wait a minute. You had seen it last week?
No.
I'm confused.
You said just now, 5 minutes ago.
Oh,
I was thinking about Ready Player One. I'm like, you were?
Yeah.
Why?
I see.
Don't do that.
Mm-hmm. I think I see what you're saying.
I can only think about one new movie in my life.
Okay. So, John Krasinski.
Mm-hmm. Directorial effort.
Yes. Directorial debut.
No, he's directed 2 films.
You should have looked that up.
I should have. I wrote down debut. I was like, I wonder how many films he's done on TV. Nope. Directed 2 films.
What are they?
Brief Interview with Hideous Men, right?
Yes. And something else called The Hollins or something. Or he directed I don't know.
I'm not
Definitely
on his jock, obviously.
Definitely
and,
I want to see. Yeah.
I meant to look that
brief
up.
Brief History or whatever. Brief Interviews.
Hideous,
wasn't
Interviews with Hideous Men or something.
Yeah, it's not very good.
A Quiet Place, and we're not going to ruin this for you if you've not seen it right here. Oh, I think what we're going to do is encourage you to go check this movie
out.
We
will tiptoe around. We'll give some thoughts.
I'm also going to tell a personal story that happened to me in this actual theater while watching the movie. I'll start with that because it ironically was not A Quiet Place in the ACA theater that I saw this in.
You saw it at Magic Johnson Theater?
Brian, I saw it in Calabasas, if you must know.
Oh.
Home of the Kardashians.
That's right.
Yes. And a bit of a hoity-toity town, and it's a nice theater, and I like that theater because people don't see movies during weekdays in this theater.
It's pretty far from your house, isn't it?
No, it's 10 minutes, 5 minutes. I moved. So I make it a point to try and see movies at that theater when they don't have many good movies. Anyways, not none of that is important. It's nice though that it's an option and I can see this. Usually I can go to that theater and it's quiet. The more affluent the neighborhood it seems, the quieter the theaters are during the week.
You're
it's
telling
weird.
Me.
It's weird.
Yeah,
it's weird. Anyways, so there's a handful of people in this theater, maybe 15, 20 of us, right? And of course, one row behind me.
Oh no, crackling popcorn.
Five seats over.
Crackling.
Two dudes. They look like they'd be friends with Jesse Pinkman. They look like these kind of guys. Mm. Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad. Beanies, probably like mid 20s, fucking slackers. And I just they're talking like this. Like they're just going back and forth, and I'm getting annoyed. And I'm turning around trying to get like their eye contact, but I can't because it's like a stadium seating, right? So they're not catching my glares of anger. The movie's begun now, and the movie is quiet. The
movie is dependent on sound design.
And these fucks. And then when I turn around 3 or 4 times now, right? And I'm actually standing up so that they can I'm trying to get their attention. Okay. The one guy's looking at his phone, he's not even looking.
Who are these people?
And then this is where I really fucking lost it. When I hear what they're talking about, I thought that they're just stoner fuckheads that were talking about the movie or whatever. I hear them say, yeah, you should just call her, dude. Just call her. So now I stand and I lean towards them and I say, hey, hey. And I was thinking about clever things to say and stuff. I'm like, that's just fucking get the point across.
This is supposed to be a quiet place.
I was going to say, you're making this an unquiet place. But I'm like, no. I'm like, hey, you think you'd be quiet? You think? Please? Like, I was one of those, right?
Sure.
And they just go, all right. But here's the thing. Quiet for the rest of the movie.
It worked.
Uncomfortable. My blood is
effective.
My heart is pounding. 2 girls sitting behind me. Thank you.
Oh, big time.
Fucking hero, right? Yeah. So now the movie ends. I'm getting uncomfortable because I hate that. It's been on my mind a few times throughout the movie. The movie's good enough that I was engrossed and I forgot about my little mini confrontation. But a few times now the lights come up and it's going to be awkward. I'm by myself. There's 2 of them, you know. So they're walking by from behind me, and I hear one guy, he's walking by, he goes, eh. I was like, dude, you're mid-20s, maybe late 20s. So once they exit the theater, I'm watching the credits, and I like rows behind them, there's a couple, and they're both like, hey, thank you very much for telling those. I don't understand why anyone would come to a movie if they don't want to. They were on their phone the entire fucking movie. They never even looked up. Thank you very much. So I'm like the hero of the 15 people in there.
You're a folk hero.
Oh, man.
You're a Calabasas hero.
I was bowing. They started throwing flowers, but they're a little like they're actually napkins that they made into flowers because, you know, there were no shops open at the time. Anyway, so to the movie.
So that's a quiet place.
They almost tried to ruin it for me, but they did not.
Mm.
Here's the long and the short of A Quiet Place.
John Krasinski directs. He co-stars with Emily Blunt,
his wife,
Millicent Simmons, and Noah Jupe.
Yes.
The kids.
Who are good.
Who are excellent.
Very good. Yes. Yeah. Millicent, how do I know her?
I didn't recognize.
That's the girl from.
I didn't look. No, just do your talk. We'll look up later.
So it's high concept.
It is.
Of the highest order, where it's a post-apocalyptic dystopian future where there's very few.
Yes, the year 2020. There are practically no humans left.
Oh, I didn't realize that they gave
it
a year.
It was the year 2020.
I might have been yelling at these people at that point.
There are practically no humans left
on
Earth because the Earth is overrun by these terrifying monsters. Hello, have you seen this
movie? They're creatures.
No, I'll be listening to music during the spoiler discussion.
They are creatures, monsters, that are blind, but extremely sensitive to sound. They hear everything. And so the last few survivors on Earth, people that have managed to survive, live in almost total silence. I mean, they drop sand trails everywhere.
Yeah, there's some great production design on things that you would think of if you actually lived in this world for a long time. A lot of attention to detail.
Absolutely.
Which I really appreciate.
Smart movie.
Which made a lot of the unfortunate plot holes even more puzzling because it's like, if you thought of that, why wouldn't you think of this?
Yes,
which we'll get into Patreon.
Save.
My fuck.
Yes. And
the tension that he created and the
I don't want to give away. I don't want to even describe the plot any more than that, other than to say I think that the trailers and the TV spots do show this. And it's important. Emily Blunt is pregnant.
Which is a great fucking plot device.
That's a great plot device.
Such a smart plot device.
Because do the math on what's going to happen in about 8.5 months.
We should also say that Krasinski wrote this as well.
He co-wrote it with two other people. And I think he got a hold of the script after it was already a thing. But
I could have seen this.
He had a hand in it.
This could have been just a throwaway B movie.
They meant it to be a Cloverfield installation.
Yeah.
That's how they wrote it.
I'm glad they didn't.
I'm really glad they didn't too.
I'm glad this thing stands on its own. Millicent, for those very few of you who saw Wanderlust, she's from Wanderlust.
That's where you know her from?
Which is so good.
She plays the deaf daughter. We should point out that the daughter is deaf. And
Wonderstruck. Fucking Wonderstruck.
The family.
The Todd Haynes movie.
The family knows ASL, sign language, and that's how they communicate, and that's how they can maintain, you know, communication without speaking, obviously, in the silence.
And it's for those of you who liked Annihilation, it's similar in tone to Annihilation, I would say, maybe a little bit darker. For me,
it's
my two favorite.
It's definitely darker.
Annihilation is fucking dark as shit, dude. Think about it for a minute.
We'll talk about the Patreon. But this
Annihilation is horrifying.
Okay, it's a good point. This I say is darker.
It's more recent for you, I think.
Dude, let me tell you something, man. I've been thinking about this for about 4 days. This is not only the best movie of this year so far.
No. Annihilation beats it.
No way.
I think Annihilation's a better film.
Oh,
than this.
Time will not be kind to that.
Time will not be
that's
kind.
That's your World War Z over Mad Max.
No, it's not. Well, at least you admit to your fucking follies there.
They're tied.
World War Z and Mad Max Fury Road.
They're equally good.
Uh-huh. Dude, Annihilation. Are you kidding?
No, Annihilation is a perfect 4-star movie. This is a
I wonder
a
what the ratings
movie.
Are. Not that, you know, I... Yeah, actually, I want to know what IMDb has the two of these as well as the old rotten fuck tomatoes.
Logan probably look up that.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask him to do that. We'll talk about that at the spoiler. We're not spoiling anything though, right?
He doesn't want to know. I don't blame him. To me, this is a. Oh, you are. Oh shit.
Yeah, can you figure out? Actually, we'll do it in the the Patreon app.
Yes, to me it was a perfectly executed thriller, Hitchcockian.
Perfectly executed.
For what it was, it's a 90-minute movie, and this is so much better than it should have been. This is a genre picture. This is like Get Out in a sense, where it's like, this could have been just kind of a high concept, like you said, monster movie, but it's so well
executed. It was done with care and detail.
Yeah, it really was.
What are the, are you going to do it now?
Yeah, yeah. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Annihilation has, just lost that Annihilation, but A Quiet Place is rated higher. Annihilation is 87.
Uh-huh.
Quiet Place is... Well, actually, no, because we'll save that one because...
Yeah.
Do we bet on a Quiet Place?
All right, what about IMDb?
No, we didn't bet on Blocker.
Whatever.
Quiet Place is 96%.
That sounds about right to me.
For me, I like Annihilation more.
No, you didn't.
We'll talk more about it in the Patreon episode, the spoiler.
This
episode.
Is the best movie I've seen in 2 years.
Stop it.
I love it.
You liked it more than Get Out.
I did.
Stop it. Yeah. You like so many other movies more than Get Out. You just won't admit it.
What do you mean?
I'm sure there's... Nah, I don't want to get into last year again.
But, I don't want to get into it either. Yeah. Let's stick to what we agree on, which is this is a really good movie.
It's a very good movie with tons of fucking problems.
There are a ton of problems.
You know what I was afraid of when I was watching this? I was thinking of you a few times when I wasn't thinking about how I wanted to pummel these fucks. And I was thinking, I could see Brian really zeroing in on these plot holes and letting it ruin the movie for him.
No, I was worried about that. I noticed a few things. I wrote them down. We'll talk about them. But no, it did not ruin the movie for me at all. Are you sad for the... So this is getting incredible word of mouth. It's got 96, 97% of Rotten Tomatoes. It's outperforming the box office. Are you afraid for the inevitable backlash? Like, not afraid, sad. Like, I'm already sad. Like, people are going to... Like, Get Out. Like, people are going to see it initially, be like, wow, that's great. I'm going to tell people about this. And the second wave is going to see it and be like, well, that was good.
But I'm not concerned about that.
I'm already sad there's going to be a backlash to this movie.
I don't care. They can do what they want.
I don't
think there will be. I think the Franks of the world are really going to like this.
I hope you're right.
I think this is a broad movie where a lot of people could
chick
like
flick?
It.
Chick flick?
Broad movie. I get you. We did you made a pun kind of right there.
The sound design was spectacular. The kid actors were great. Emily Blunt, if there's any justice, she would get an Oscar nomination. She is fantastic. An almost dialogue-free role.
And the creatures are amazing, and yes. We didn't even talk about the creatures.
And they are. I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. I think that we've done our job here. And
unique, horrifying, like nothing you've ever. Have you seen anything really like them?
Yeah.
What? Oh, we're gonna talk about it later.
Yeah. Giger, in his museum that I was at. That I was at. Actually, you know what? You know what's funny? I was trying to place it when I was watching the movie, and I'm like, I've seen something like this before. And Giger, I went to his museum in Switzerland. Mm. And Gruyere, where his museum is, right in the middle of this little medieval town of called Gruyere, where the cheese comes from. Gruyere's, there's an S on the end of it, but I don't know if they're pronouncing it. Anyways, Gruyere is an amazing place in Switzerland. And he has a piece that is in the museum that is very similar to these things. And I actually took a picture of it, and it's in one of my little digital frames at home. And I was actually walking by it, it's motion censored, and that picture popped up. I'm like, oh that's what I was thinking of.
And that only exists there. That wasn't like...
Yeah,
put into popular culture.
I wish I had the picture with me. I don't, but we'll talk about that. Right. And, hey, and we were talking about the Patreon before the this episode, and why I think it's kind of perfect is because we're not saying anything less on the normal show than we normally would.
This is all normally we'd be like, oh, I can't talk about.
We're just excited that we get to talk about it because we have this Patreon outlet now. So we're not holding back on the regular show. The regular show. For as far as I can tell, is the exact same as it would be, except Brian's maybe spoiling a little less.
A little less. There were several times I was into the movie, but there were several times where I was watching it and I was just admiring it. And there would be like a little, not a twist, but a little like plot development. And I would think like, oh, that's good.
Yeah, but some of them weren't paid off. And I got a lot of problems with this movie and I can't wait to talk to you about it.
Yeah, we're going
to
talk about it more.
All right, you have anything else?
Maybe you'll make me hate it.
You have anything else?
You mentioned before you were afraid that I was going to see what? Instead of
cock blockers.
Oh, that's right.
A universal R-rated comedy is what they're calling it on my app at all the theaters. They're refusing to call it by its name, which is Blockers with a chicken in front of it. Did you see it?
Blockers.
Ah, fuck
2018,
me, the goat.
Directed by Kay Cannon in her directorial debut. Have you seen it?
No.
Do you want to be assigned it?
No.
Directed by Leslie Mann.
He's spit roasting himself.
Starring.
Isn't it funny and zany?
Who's spit roasting?
The guy that was beer bonging with the butt.
Oh, butt chugging. Leslie Mann, John Cena, Ike Barinholtz, who was great in Neighbors, Catherine Newton, Geraldine Viswanathan, Gideon Adlon, Pam Adlon's daughter, June Diane Raphael, Hannibal Buress, Gary Cole, and Gina Gershon were in this film.
Oh, I miss that Gina.
She makes a little bit of a comeback, and I saw her, and I was like, she doesn't show up till well into the second act. I'm like,
I feel like you're like, spoiling for people.
I'm like, is that, well, it wasn't a kind of reveal or anything, but it's like, is that Gina? That's Gina Gershon. How lovely to see her on screen. This is like if American Pie was told from the perspective of the girls in the film and all the parents. Like it's all that same sort of sex comedy, crazy sex comedy stuff, but involves nothing with the boys. In fact, the boys in this film are doofuses.
Right.
It's about these three girls.
Scared of the sex.
These three, kind of. Yeah, some of them are. Three girls, high school seniors and their parents. Mm. The girls form a sex pact. They're going to lose their virginity on prom night.
Eggplant.
That's right. Eggplant emoji. In fact, the movie was written as the Pact. That's the name of the title. And got changed to Blockers, which is... I think one of the worst titles I've ever heard.
Did you hear me? That my, yes. my app is calling it an R-rated Universal comedy. They're what? They're refusing to call it Blockers for whatever reason.
Oh, that's what they're calling it.
That's what it's,
oh,
that's what it's
I
listed
as. There was a description.
No, that's what it is. That's what it's listed as.
Okay.
It's very odd.
R-rated Universal comedy. They refuse to call it Blockers.
Speaking of Universal, real quick, if I may. And as usual when I come to the studio, because we're over here on the west side of LA, there's billboards everywhere. How sad are the Universal billboards?
What are they?
They're like, come see what you've been missing.
There's Universal Studios.
Universal Studios, an attraction, a theme park out here. I think most people are familiar with Universal Studios.
I would say so.
Their little ad campaign is so fucking sad. Yeah. It's like just a shot of like, you know, the Jurassic Park ride or maybe Backdraft. They still have, I don't know, it's some kind of action sequence and like people reacting to it. And the billboard just says, come see what you've been missing.
Yeah. I wonder how, so I imagine at one point, not that long ago, 10 years or so ago, they were running, you know, neck and neck or breathing down Disney's neck for, you know, Disneyland and all that stuff for attractions out here.
I have no idea.
Disney added Star Wars, Disney added Pixar, Disney added all these properties. And now, you know, Disneyland is nothing like it was 10 years ago.
And they got rid of the petting zoo, I don't really like Disneyland as much.
Okay. But also.
It's true. They got rid of the petting zoo.
Legoland.
It's very sad.
Legoland was kind of a joke like 15 years ago, whatever it was. And now I imagine it's a huge destination, maybe even more so than Disney. Kids love it.
No, it's not bigger than Disney.
Okay, I'm exaggerating. But what I'm saying, it's a clear number two now above Universal Studios. People, kids love Legos.
Both of these parks are just the cheaper alternative to Disneyland, really.
Yeah, they always
Disneyland's
like kind
super
of
expensive.
Man.
So, I mean, I got a Universal Studios pass. I've only been once this year.
Well,
but it was like $100. So
it was fun.
Why not? Yeah, I'd go again if they were open at nighttime.
They closed down.
They closed like a
They're scared of the gangsters. A lot of gangsters
during
up there.
During the summer, they open up, but then
a lot of gangsters up there.
You got a police presence.
I don't trust people who are like Disney heads. You know what I mean? The people that like
again is that my Carano?
They're at the because he doesn't like wear the shirts.
But he goes multiple times.
Not anymore. He stopped after the security continued to fuck with him. But people that are just like really into the characters and they're there all the time, you know what I mean? Wearing the fucking Mickey ears. Like, I feel like there's something like some kind of childhood
trauma they're trying to reclaim. That got taken from them.
No offense. Actually, I guess offense was just made by me to anyone who has that, who's listening to this. I don't trust you. There's something, not that I don't trust you. I don't trust your well-being.
Right.
I don't trust that you're good.
I'm with you.
Back to the Blockers.
Oh boy. So Blockers, that's it. The girls agree to make a sex pact. Their overprotective parents find out. The movie is basically intercut between their crazy prom night and the parents attempting to stop them from having sex. It's a very high concept comedy.
Right. How was it, Brian?
It's honestly, it's nothing special. There's a few good laughs, admittedly. I enjoyed a few scenes. Ultimately, some sweet moments. Admittedly, there are some tender moments, but ultimately nothing special. This is a perfect movie for a plane. If you're on a plane, you got to kill an hour and 42 minutes.
Not a good review.
You are going to... Why is that not a good review?
It's like a bad review.
Oh, I see. A positive review. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. It's... I don't know
if you're
why
stuck on a plane, it'll do the trick.
It'll do the trick.
Game night or Blockers?
Game night.
Okay.
Yeah.
But... Really,
I'm not giving an enthusiastic endorsement of like you got to see Game Night. It's like, man,
why would you see the Blockers?
83% on Rotten Tomatoes. I figured
I think that we need to start phasing Rotten Tomatoes. Start phasing Rotten Tomatoes out. I don't trust the Rotten Tomatoes. I feel like there's some.
But they were right on with the Quiet Place.
Hands being right. Yeah, everything seems to be super fucking high. Right? I'm not trusted.
Scores are high.
Told you, a listener sent me an email. Said I got one source, and it's from a listener who I don't know. And they said,
"So it's sacrosanct
that anything that seems like an offensive or negative review a lot of the time is just being chucked out."
Wow.
So a lot of there's another conflict
That's
of interest.
That's because there were campaigns from like alt-right people to give Black Panther negative reviews.
Why would they care?
That's why that was happening.
So it all began there, huh?
Pretty much.
It's a slippery slope.
At least that's what I've read.
I feel like
Blockers.
Who owns Rotten Tomatoes? Is there some kind of conflict?
The fan submit because you can sort by critic,
right.
Rotten Tomatoes score or user ones. So those were user reviews that were being removed.
I feel like certain studios have more whatever. I don't trust the RT. Ever since Chappie, fuck you, RT.
But guys, Quiet Place. That's your winner of the week.
The winner of Brian's fucking millennial. Apparently,
that's so good.
All right, I saw a film. I'm not going to spend a ton of time.
Is it Blockers?
And I'm going to need you to fucking just sit back. All right? I'm going to need you to relax. I'm going to need you to give this to me, okay? Because I went back and forth quite a bit. I'm like, do I talk about Wild Wild Country? Do I? Because technically...
I would say no.
It's a television program.
Oh, jeez.
But it's a miniseries.
I'll be right back.
It's a mini docuseries. It's a 6.5 hours, close to 7 hours maybe when everything's said and done. And it's streaming on the old Fuckflix. And it came out a few weeks ago. And I watched the first episode Friday night with the wife. And let me tell you, we got fucking hooked. And I spent 7 hours with the wife watching this. And it cost me watching something else by myself probably for this here program. And I got to tell you, Wild Wild Country is worth a bit of a chat. Mm. And here we go.
Okay.
There's a group of people, Rajneeshis, I believe they are called, that have a Wild Wild Country is the name of the film, we'll call it, Logan.
It's not a film.
They have a certain belief in the world. They follow this man to Oregon, Antelope, Oregon. It's a small little town in Oregon, and there's these Rajneeshis are in India, and they follow this man, this guru, and they decide to flee India because India wasn't treating them very well, and set up their utopia in Antelope, Oregon.
All right.
Which is population 40.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you ever saw Welcome to Life.
I did.
Very similar to that. No, but there's no correspondence. They never correlated the two in this documentary because this happened long before. Okay. This is the early 80s.
Is this a docuseries?
It's a docuseries. It's a documentary. It's a miniseries. It is finite. It's not, you know, season one, season two. The fact that I wasn't aware of this cult... Mm. You know, it's not like I'm Mr. Cult or anything, but I did a fair amount of research and doing the cult of Carano, and I read about cults, and I talked to people that were in cults and stuff, and this one never came up.
Okay.
And maybe because it doesn't really have a name. I watched 7 hours about this cult, and I still don't really know what their teachings were about, what his teachings were about. Bhagwan is his name? Bhagwan. Okay. And he's just, you know, he's a typical cult-looking leader from India with a long beard, long hair, takes vows of silence. His main thing that I learned was some kind of... meditation, where it starts off with like you hyperventilate and then you strike out at people and then you become silent and then you become overjoyed. And it's this radical meditation. That's really the only thing they got into. They also all wear the same fucking colors. It's always like purple and red, so you can spot them.
Okay.
Now, as you'd imagine, the old timers, right wing leaning, gun toting folks,
the Oregon militia
of Antelope, Oregon, were not pleased with these thousands of Rajneeshis descending on their land, essentially. The Bhagwan, the guy that they follow, he has a secretary who's like his right-hand man, right? I think vice principal. Her name's Sheila. And holy shit, is she a diabolical genius. What this documentary series does so right is it tells both sides of the story. We hear from the Antelope people, present day. We hear from Sheila, present day. We hear from her people, present day. We also have a shit ton of fantastic VHS stock footage from the early 80s of this cult. They came in. What they did was so goddamn impressive. They built an entire city.
They came from India.
But they were from all over the world. They have like really highfalutin people that were like really good lawyers, just give up their practice and become lawyers for this cult.
How did they get the word out back in the early 80s?
It was word of mouth, and they just had like I think things stuck more before the internet too, you know. It's like they weren't just chat rooms. I think that this one lawyer who was one of the lead interviewees in this series is he's talking about, you know, he was in this good job, made really good money as a lawyer, but his soul was dying, and he had a friend who went off to India, met this guru, came back, and he said he was just a different person.
Wow.
I knew that I had to do something similar. And it was that kind of, like, you know, the end of the 70s, people were still looking for spiritual freedom and whatnot. This movie, it's fucking fascinating. Throughout the movie, I'm trying to figure out whose side am I on. I think they're both wrong.
What's the other side?
Well,
the locals?
Yeah, the locals. And like every good documentary, they really take the middle road and let you hear both sides. And it's fascinating. And I walk away just thinking about I don't want to give too much away, but I mean, there's poisonings that occur. There's homeless people that were just freely referred to as street people back then, all over the news, because they have tons of news footage too about these people. They got Johnny Carson talking about the Bhagwan. It was a thing.
Wow.
And I missed it all.
I miss it.
Early 80s, I guess. You know, I wasn't paying attention to shit like that. I was a child.
That's right, wrapped up in Star Wars.
Wild, that's you. Wild, wild country. It's streaming on Fuckflix, and if I were to complain about it, like I said early on, I still don't know what the cult's about, other than just a utopia, and it's kind of a study on ultimate power corrupts and how factions are created out of things that are good and backstabbing, and it's a saga. And
how many parts? How many?
Six. There's six episodes total, and it's all pure documentary, and they're not going to come out with a sequel. And like the other documentary that I was blown away by within the last few months was that Shot in the Dark, which is about Nightcrawling. Right, yeah. But I feel like that's manipulated. I don't feel like that's totally honest. Gotcha. I think that there's some storylines being written. This one, obviously, it reminds me a little bit of, for obvious reasons, Let It Burn. Let the Fire Burn, because of all the stock footage. Right. Let the Fire Burn was also about the a different cult, the African cult, I believe, in Philadelphia.
Something weird.
But cults were a thing, and they're not as much of a thing. And I kind of wish that they come back, because it's entertaining in the news at least.
If there's one guy who's going to do it,
it's Carano.
It's Mike Carano.
Yeah,
it's a lot of Carano.
He does want a cult
for the first segment.
So yeah, Wild Wild Country. Like if that movie that I love so much about OJ from a couple years back Made in America could be considered a film,
it's absolutely not.
It absolutely was. It showed in theaters, and it was up for Best Documentary and won Best Documentary. And so
showed me.
This one, Wild Wild Country, highly, highly recommend. However, just don't plan on getting all the answers. You get all the saga. Mm. The saga is good, but you never get all the answers.
See, I like my entertainment wrapped up in a nice bow, so will I not like this then?
Yeah, you will.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm sorry, maybe I misunderstood what you're saying. Because what I like to say is I don't like to follow the news stories that drag on and on. I got to remember what happened in court.
You want content, historical content.
Yeah, like that's why I loved Made in America, OJ Made in America. I didn't care for it when it was actually unfolding, because it was just, I saw it as news Fox trying to get ratings, and I didn't care. But I like...
Just trying to fill hours in the broadcast day.
This is number of years of the Roshnishis and their entire saga with Antelope, Oregon, all... in a 6-hour package, package.
Also kind of lost to history, whereas OJ was omnipresent. It's everywhere.
They find people that are still alive that were a part of this on both sides, and they interview them today.
Right.
And it's fascinating. So there's a lot of talking heads, but there's a ton of stock footage.
So it's kind of like Blockers, but more of a...
Nothing like Blockers.
Reality.
And I went back and forth. I watch a lot of shit with the wife. That's our relationship, as many relationships are. You spend a lot of time watching stuff in the bedroom and hanging out. Like, that's how we spend our quality time. Usually watching and commenting on shows. I rarely bring them to the program. Rarely. Mm. But I'm bringing Wild Wild Country. Mm. I feel like I'm vindicated.
Coming up next!
I don't know why I'm vindicated. I'm vindicating myself, I guess.
There's nothing to vindicate.
Crown myself vindication. Yeah.
We will count down. Get it? The top five races against the clock. Next.
The town is full, but the streets are empty. In this pre-apocalyptic silent frenzy, we wait.
We often say, Anderson, you really can't get anything on Amazon. Something I thought you had to have professionally done, and maybe you still can, but you can also get it yourself. A trophy mount for heads and skulls of things that you hunt. Somebody got a Big Hooker European trophy mount by Skull Hooker. It's a whole kit for hanging fish, I suppose. Or
I thought you were totally talking about something else. Oh, hunting hookers, and I was very offended for everyone.
No, well, you should be. It seems like you'd actually be more offended by hunting animals than hunting hookers.
It's absolutely true, but I'm running for office, so I have to be politically
correct.
Oh,
that's a good point. Other things purchased on the Amazon banner on Anderson.
Why does everyone act like they're running for fucking office? You're not running for office. Everyone settle down,
there's always
all right?
A chance.
No, there's no chance. There's no fucking chance I'm running for office. So I shouldn't be held to the same standards as the people that are supposed to be in office.
I'm going to remember
that. Get off my back.
I'm going to remember that when you run for office.
I can say that I think that hunting innocent little animals is more offensive to me than hunting hookers who chose that lifestyle.
A Tri-Arc 15-step rolling industrial ladder was purchased. The kind you rolled, got up to the top of the Home Depot shelves. Someone got six cable wire cable cutters. Excuse me. Acer Aspire notebook was purchased. A Schlage what?
It's just funny that the things that you'd pick out of this list.
They couldn't be more random. A Schlage touchscreen deadbolt was purchased with built-in alarm. A wall mount sink with faucet and drain. Tascam 4-track portable digital recorder.
That's good.
Yeah. A Dell LED monitor, as well as an HP Pavilion LED monitor.
Dude, you're getting two Dells.
A Dell and an HP, Brett. Innova heavy-duty inversion table. Oh, the kind of the inversion table.
I got one in my garage.
Oh, do you really? Do you ever use it?
Well, my mom bought it for me a few years ago, and yeah, I do use it. Definitely.
Does it help?
I think so.
Okay. You know what might help also? Someone got, didn't realize this was a thing, someone got IntelliSkin Posture Correcting Athletic Shirt. It's a shirt that apparently makes you stand up straight.
Oh, I can see that. Like, it makes you realize.
I guess it arches your back a little or something like that.
Well, I don't think it arches. It probably just gives you, like, little nipple flares or something. Like, you realize that you're, like, kind
of... Oh, you go into the zone where you're not so hunched over.
Like, it lets you know.
Interesting.
I'm guessing.
Titanium open ear wireless bone conduction headphones from Aftershocks.
Huh?
Aftershocks bone conduction headphones. Bull Shooter electronic dartboard cabinet set. And Amazon Echo with Alexa. 10 tubes, I guess, of Asper cream, pain relieving cream with lidocaine. A Gaiam, a balance ball chair. A yoga ball was purchased. A spray gun set for painting your car. 3 spray guns with paint primer and top coat. 5-star gear GI spec flight kit bag.
You can buy stuff to paint your own car.
Yeah. Spray gun set.
Graffiti artist must be who's mainly buying that.
Well, you have to hook it up to like a hose and a tank.
How many people paint their own cars?
Well, I imagine if you're going to paint a car or something large, like a house, you could do it for a house, I suppose. A garage door, perhaps. Flight kit bag was purchased. The big hooker thing. $60 PlayStation Store gift card. Sperry Top Cider Men's Boat Shoe. Siwa External Hard Drive. A DVD hard drive. And a Click Gear Push Cart Seat was purchased. Thank you. How about some movies?
Oh, shit, dude. I just switched out of that.
Come on.
Because I was looking up, I've never heard of this movie. I think maybe it's a mistype.
Which one?
Here's the movie. Click, this is the last time I saw it. The Hobbit.
You've heard of
it. The Desolation of Smaug. Desolation of Smaug. The Nice Guys. A very funny movie, but I kind of was hard on it because the end fell apart for me. It became goofy.
It was a bit silly.
Pop star, never stop, never stopping. Speaking of silly, but it's kept its tone all the way through. Hey, The Whistleblower. Blade Runner 2049, Doc Holliday. I haven't thought about Doc Holliday in quite some time.
Wow.
The Greatest Showman. I will not. Thor, Ragnarok. Unforgiven, Rushmore, Star Wars, The Last Jedi. And here's the movie. I don't know what it is. Cabin in the Sky? What is Cabin in the Sky?
I don't know what that is.
What is Cabin?
I might know what that is.
Sure it's not Eye in the Sky mixed with Cabin in the Woods?
I looked it up and there's actually some notable people in there.
Cabin in the Sky. I don't know anything about movies. I suck at movie talk. It's a 1943 film. All right.
There you go.
1943 movie.
Oh, no, the Whistleblower is the one. I think it has Rachel Weisz in it.
Vincent Minnelli. All right. Director.
Cat in the Sky is like a...
You don't know. Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, it's a jazz movie. Someone, a jazz like musician dies but gets a second chance at like life.
Nope.
No?
A compulsive gambler dies during a shooting, but he'll receive a second chance to reform himself and to make up with his worried wife.
I was way off. He was a jazz performer. He was a gambler.
Wrong.
He may have been a jazz performer indeed, in addition to a compulsive gambler.
Back to the program.
Hello there, I'm Simon Pegg, and you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBrian.com. Welcome back. What's up, man? Welcome back. Welcome back to the show. Countdown time. We're going to count down the countdown scenes. Races against the clock. Now, Anderson, we should point out that before the show,
yes,
you emailed me. I am texted. You communicated with me somehow, and you were like, "Hey, man, all minor scenes."
Yeah, it occurred to me that maybe I wasn't totally clear, and because this usually we come up with these in person, and this one came up via text. With you and Logan. So it occurred to me, I'm like, fuck, I hope that they're not thinking about movies.
Because Races Against the Clock could be an entire movie.
If we really want to take a step back, like, isn't everything a race against the clock?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're all racing before we die, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, man? Yeah, you know why? Because I watched Wild Wild Country. Wild Wild West. Wild Wild Country.
Wild Wild Country.
No, but these are actual, what I asked you to do, and you did kindly, because you could tell that it was a big deal to me, was you made it so that your list now is only like scenes where like there's a clock ticking or there's a time
an
restraint.
Actual countdown.
Yeah. Rather than, because that's a whole nother list and that's a whole nother fun episode with a bunch of movies that I never really thought about as making its own list, but movies that are built around a time construct.
Right. Yeah, that's fun. We can do that separately. That is a whole nother list and there's enough movies on mine that we can do that.
So let's get to it.
Let's do it.
This is one of these lists that's going to be bugging me weeks to come because I'm going to think of other ones. I've been racking my mind all week. I didn't find enough proof online for Logan said that one of the listener votes was actually for a Galaxy Quest. So apparently I was onto something there, but I couldn't find the video evidence.
Okay. Well, let's count down then. Should I go first? Or you want to go first?
My number one's pretty good. Okay.
Okay. My number one's pretty good. It's hard to find.
Crossover.
Number five. We will have maybe one. In fact, I'm going to say none. I'm gonna say over-under is half, and I'm going to say go under.
Okay.
Number five.
There might be some, you know, we might give away some things here, but we'll be careful.
We'll let you know if anything is coming up that's a spoilerific. Number five for me is a movie I had to add at the last minute, and we're going to take one off and add one. So give me a break. Actually, this is not a movie that's ever come up on a list before. It's a James Bond movie. It's a hallmark of James Bond movies.
If you're all 5 years of James Bond, dude, I don't know what to tell. I don't know what to tell you. Please tell me it's not going to be all five. Because every fucking James Bond movie has one of these, right?
I have a tie for number four, so it's actually six James Bond movies.
Good.
Number five is my only James Bond movie because is a trope of James Bond films, of actually all, you know, spy films and films of the such, action thrillers, that there's got to be a counting down clock and the hero's got to defuse the bomb and blah, 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 blah. And of course, it's been done in, I don't know, four or five James Bond movies. One of my favorite examples of this is in one of the most underrated James Bond movies, Octopussy from 1983. Good movie with a stupid title.
You said
directed
that.
Directed by...
You probably said that 17 times on the show now.
Octopussy?
And that is a great movie with a terrible title.
It's come up before, but I don't think I've ever actually put it on a list. Directed by John Glenn, the director of five 007 films, the most in the series. This is Roger Moore's second-to-last movie. And yes, one of the most underrated. And also, not just because of the stupid title, because it's the movie where a noticeably aging James Bond dresses up like a clown. And a lot of people don't like that, a lot of purists. But nonetheless, a quintessential example of a race against the clock. He actually defuses a bomb while dressed as a clown in a big top, like at a circus, which sounds absurd. It's like, right, that must be the worst James Bond movie ever. Oh, no, it's actually quite a good movie. He defuses the bomb. Normally, the gag is that he defuses it with 7 seconds left, and it reads like 007. But this time, actually...
Didn't he always do that?
No, that's the gag, I'm saying. But right, this time, they actually went down all the way to zero, and he got it out just in time, just as the clock struck
zero. Zero's not in time.
Well, so he's removing this sort of centrifuge, right, from this device, and... As it goes from one to zero and he gets it out, it goes like click, like it actually makes
it. Why was he
dressed
like a clown?
Because he was trying to...
Better question. Why did I just ask that?
He was trying to infiltrate the circus somehow. I don't remember exactly what the reason was.
Good movie, though.
It is in the top half of James Bond movies, I'll tell you that.
I don't think so.
It is for sure.
I can't even remember why he's dressed up as a fucking clown.
Octopus.
Number five for me. This is a spoiler of sorts if you're not familiar with...
Is there a clown?
2008's... The Dark Knight.
Oh.
Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight. If you have not seen this movie yet.
Not The Dark Knight Rises?
First of all, what's the matter with you? There is a cornier version in Dark Knight Rises, but what I'm going after is The Dark Knight's Choice, which was very well...
I guess this is a race against the clock.
Absolutely a race against the clock. It's a very tense race against the clock.
It's a weird race against the clock because it's two people it's two groups
intercut.
Outlast each other.
Right. Mm. Well...
In a sense.
No. You're thinking about something else, I think. You're thinking about the boats. You're thinking about the ferries.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about... you got...
Rachel Gordon.
Eckhart. Yeah.
And Harvey Dent.
Yeah, Harvey Dent. Thank you very much. And his girlfriend.
Rachel Gordon.
And he has to choose one.
Because
one of them... He couldn't be in two places at the same time. And the clock is ticking down, and you cross-cut it, And much like that fucking fantastic scene that will never, ever be replicated in Silence of the Lambs, where you think that they're going into the right house, but they're going into the wrong house. And it's cut together so well, and you think they're actually going to get them, and they knock, and they clean. I'm talking about Silence of the Lambs now, and they go into the ambush house. Oh, fuck, it's good. But that's kind of what happens. He thinks he's going to his girl, and then he gets there just in time to save his girl, and he's talking to her the whole while on the old speakerphone over there, Batman's futuristic speakerphone. And then he opens it up and he sees that it's Harvey Dent. And Harvey Dent is just as upset as the Dark Knight is because he also loves her. And then now they both know that he's saved Harvey Dent, and their fine lady is going to be smithereens. And she's like, "It's okay, just to." And then her hair and the and Maggie Gyllenhaal is no more. There's
incineration.
So yeah, it's Christopher Nolan just doing Christopher Nolan what he does, yeah. Which is right raise the tension.
I thought you were going with the boat scene, but you're right. That's a
boat scene is also that was also time
in a sense. Yeah,
you know, a lot of things in these comic book movies are based on time. That's the device. But this was really well executed, and the fact that it's my number five gives me hope that I have four better ones.
Number four for me.
Got some hope for the list.
So if there's any crossover, I think is the only place it's going to happen. And then this was on my list, and you can make a case that it's the whole movie, and it is in a sense, but the one scene I love from Run, Lola, Run, 1998.
That's kind of the whole movie, though.
It is kind of the whole movie.
She's got 20 minutes.
Can I make an excuse for myself? I had three on my list that were the whole movie. I didn't want to get rid of three, so I had to get rid of two.
Run, Lola, Run's a great choice.
You can make a case for this one because the great scene that happens towards the end, in the third run at the casino, it's so great, mm-hmm. And she's trying to race against the clock. So a mob boss or some sort of crime boss.
It's the age-old story.
Yeah, yeah.
He owes
come up with
money.
100,000.
Her boyfriend owes money to the wrong people, and then he loses them. He has the money, but then he loses it, and she has to go out and find this like 20 grand or whatever.
No, it's 100,000 Deutsche Marks in 20 minutes or something.
Which is exactly 20,000 U.S. dollars. That's why I said that. I have no idea.
So she has in the third run. It's a very inventive movie directed by Tom Tykwer.
I cried when I watched this movie.
Really?
Because it was the greatest thing I'd ever seen at the time as far as independent movies go.
It's a very kinetic,
hyperkinetic.
Yeah,
I'd never seen
the
movie.
It's bursting at
the
seams with action.
I was pissed that I didn't make it. That was my thoughts as I was watching this movie. I was crying.
You're out of frustration.
And you look at it, it's a little dated now. It feels a little bit 90s, which is what it is with the score and whatnot. But a lot of a lot of clock play.
Indeed. So in the third run, where she's trying to get this money to save her boyfriend's life, she goes into a casino. I'm talking about Lola, of course, Franka Potente. And she goes into she's German, so I thought it was Potente. Anyway, she goes into a casino, right? A French, I think they're in France. Anyway.
German.
But they're speaking, okay. She goes into a casino.
Croupier.
And she goes to the teller, the cashier, and gets all the money she has into 100 Deutsche Mark chip.
Let it ride.
And she goes over straight to the roulette table, which is the worst bet in the casino, and puts it all on 20. And wouldn't you know it, 20 comes up.
Look at that.
And she wins 3,600 Deutsche Marks.
Let it ride.
Puts it all back out there on 20.
You know what?
And this scene is so well constructed. I watched it again today. The music is. It's almost like a train spotting light. Like it's got like a it's this great.
I listened to that soundtrack nonstop
in
1999.
Do you remember the music from that scene?
Oh my god, yeah, I remember all the music. I was obsessed with that movie.
It was pretty great. Didn't Tom Tykwer?
I think it's Tykwer.
Have a little bit to do with the soundtrack? Didn't he do some of the music?
Yeah, I believe he did do the music.
Yeah,
I went out and I watched everything he did after that, and he's made nothing but snooze fests.
No,
since.
Cloud Atlas.
Oh my god,
best movie ever made.
He's one of three on Cloud Atlas, and you should try and see like The Winter Sleeper. I've suffered through like four or five Tom. It's just they don't line up with Run, Lola, Run. There's nothing close as far as tempo.
If he's German, is it Tykwer?
That's what I keep saying. I think it's Tykwer.
Okay. Anyhow, yes, she puts it on 20. Let's all ride, and once you know, hits it again. 130,000 Deutsche Marks are hers.
It's
and,
because of the scream. That's how it happened.
Because of the
her scream. I didn't really care for the
scream.
That's
right. At one point, she screams, and like a bunch of glass starts breaking.
Yeah,
and
it seemed like a bit.
Felt a bit
over the top to create that
of
tension.
Course, the idea that she'd go into a casino and win her first two bets on roulette is not fantastical at all. In fact,
it was divine intervention.
That's true.
Jesus
it was meant to be.
It was a god like. What do you like to say? The machina?
A deus ex machina?
Deus ex machina.
It is kind of, actually.
It absolutely was.
I wanted to do a list once of deus ex machinas? I know they really kind of give a lot away.
Number four for me. This is a movie that doesn't come up much, and I did not love this movie at the time. And watching and studying and doing my homework for this here episode, I watched many, and I was revisiting my initial uncomfortable feelings while watching these bomb detonating? Diffusings. And how uncomfortable I was in the Hurt Locker. And I think that's what hurt it at the time for me because I don't do well with things like that.
That's a stomach-turning movie.
Yeah, and then Catherine Bigelow directed 2008 as well, same as Dark Knight, unfortunately, for this list. But the way that she go, and then we get the Mackie, and we get Jeremy Renner, they're back and forth, which was good, but it seemed uneven to me. And then so it was kind of like okay, like chummy, like camaraderie stuff with kind of a bleak background.
Yeah, I agree.
And then like really tense scenes.
Yeah, the scenes with any scene with the bomb was white
so up. Fucking tense. Yeah, and then there wasn't enough. I needed like more joy on the other side. I think, but
same movie wasn't fun enough.
I came across a bunch of, in researching for this episode, I came upon, I did not click, but there's a bunch of like real life Hurt Locker situations out there that are on YouTube.
Oh no.
But
I also point out, by the way, no sports countdowns. We'll save that for another list.
Yeah, that's a whole separate.
We agreed on
that. That's a whole separate.
Because there could be a whole bunch of sports, you know.
But the scene, there's multiple scenes in the Hurt Locker, obviously. And well, if you have not seen the Hurt Locker.
We're not doing sports for the listener top five.
We can live with one slipping on there. The Hurt Locker is a scene where the race, it's not always a win.
No.
And if you have not seen the Hurt Locker, maybe you don't want to hear this part because it's towards the end of the movie.
The film that won Best Picture, 2008?
Yeah, it was still. Yeah.
You're right. There's people who probably haven't seen it.
My number one, like if you have not seen my number one, I don't know what you're doing listening to this film. It's just, I mean, this show on film. All right, so the Hurt Locker, my number four is the Race Against the Clock, which he cannot defuse. There's just too many locks on this poor man who was hoping not to die. And I almost got the audio for it, but I don't want to bring the whole show down. But it's right now.
Yeah, it's quite.
Mackie's already fled, and yep. He's like, everyone else get back. And Jeremy Renner hangs around for an extra 20 seconds to just say, hey, there's nothing I can do for you. I'm sorry. And this guy's like praying to Allah, and he's very upset because he knows he's about to be blown to smithereens. And it is tense because like they're talking. They're saying, you got 90 seconds.
The humanity is brutal.
You got 45 seconds. Yeah. And there's a movie out there called Land of Mine. And it's a true story based on a true story about like Hitler youth after the war being captured and being used by the Allies to
really
go on the beach and remove mines.
Jesus.
And it looks fan-fucking-tastic, Brian, but I'm terrified of it because I don't do good with that. And like just the trailer, like this guy, you know, bad guy, good
about,
guy, I don't
about
care.
Jump scares, the
I'm just
jump
so
scare.
Concerned about a giant fucking noise coming at me out of the fucking blue that I have not seen Land of Mine. And I know that it's good. I know it is. I could tell. I really want to see it, but I'm scared. Mm. I'm scared. All right. So, number four for me is a movie that I think is better than I've given it credit for. It never gets mentioned unless you're poor.
It's true. It rarely comes up. And you're right. All those scenes, anything that involves a bomb is a white knuckle scene.
It did feel a little bit uneven, right?
Yes, I agree. The stuff with, didn't he go off on a mission on his own at the end with a handgun or something? He went look for a kid that he played soccer with. And the stuff with, I didn't.
Anthony Mackie.
Yeah, I didn't like anything that where he wasn't wearing the suit was kind of okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to live up to, but you know, you can go to Platoon, and the Platoon has just awful, horrific war scenes, and then like the stuff going on with Elias and Big Harold and Barnes. I mean, it's stuff of legend, and like you want to hang out with them in their bunkers, you know, and see. And they had the factions with Kevin Dillon's character Bunny hating. Like, he was like a redneck, and they hated all the stoners because there was like it was like. The right wing and the left wing and the same platoon though.
Wow, you know what I'm thinking of.
God, it's good. Platoon, good.
If
so good.
If there was a universe in which Ready Player One was about you and you would create the Oasis.
Oh my God.
And like they had
Can
to go
imagine?
Into
imagine
they had to go into
How
your
great
me-
that would
your
be
memory
for me.
And they had to go into Platoon.
Oh.
And like find like a they had to go into the barracks and find like an Easter egg. Because it's like your
yeah, I see
your
what you're saying.
That'd
yeah,
be sweet.
That would be really
if it was
sweet.
Me,
it'd be the underground tunnels. Remember that scene where Elias went under there and he was like out of breath when he came out? So horrifying. He came across like the, he came across, they're talking about Platoon now. He came across like this little, like, it was tunnels underground. He came across this little place where there were the Vietnamese called the Charlie.
That's
where
the Easter egg would be.
They were doing like surgeries under there. And he came across it.
That's where the Easter egg would be.
One of the games in the Ready Player One book that you'd be into is they are placed into scenes from movies and they have to act out the scene perfectly.
Oh,
so like that's one of the challenges in the thing. They have to act out the last scene of War Games.
Oh, I just watched that for this episode. It didn't work out.
Yeah,
it didn't work out because it's not a real countdown. It's more of just like
it isn't.
Nah, it's not what you think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If it was me, you'd have to go into like the world of Just Friends and like go to the bar where they're all at and like find the Easter egg.
Oh, it'd be so
and
horrible.
Dusty Dinkelman's playing like his guitar up there.
It'd be so terrible. There'd just be like a bunch of people dancing outside of a house.
Anderson screaming. You're actually in the movie. Why are they dancing?
Be an improvement.
It would have been cool if they had brought that to the film though, because they could have actually used the footage from those movies and like use special effects to put them in the scenes.
I feel like Ready Player One, I'm glad it wasn't, but I think it could have been served as like a Stranger Things type miniseries. Mm. I think that would have been...
There's still time.
With the nerds. I guess it's a nerds movie, right?
Sure.
The nerds.
It'll be the extended universe that they make.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see this.
Number three for me. Speaking of extended universe, this is another movie I added towards the... after Anderson said, we're just doing scenes. So, all right, off goes one movie and on comes this one. The time ticking down, the clock is a running theme through Watchmen from 2009. The clock is a running theme. In fact, they have a doomsday clock that is constantly ticking towards midnight. Logan, this is where my clip comes in.
You're locked in here with me.
Zack Snyder's Watchmen from 2009. It is the adaptation, of course, of the graphic novel. And as Anderson said, the countdown clock, the race against the clock, is a trope. And by the way, this does have a spoiler because this is one of the final scenes of the film.
Does it involve a giant blue penis?
This particular clip does not.
Hmm.
So Ozymandias was a former Watchman, and now he is the smartest and richest man of the world. And he has a lair in Antarctica, and he is about to cause nuclear war. He's about to intentionally cause international nuclear war between all the countries on Earth, or the U.S. and the Soviet, not all the countries. Sorry, the U.S. and the Soviet Union.
Is this DC?
Is
this DC Comics?
That's a great question.
Yes, published by DC.
Yeah.
Okay.
As opposed to
Marvel.
But it wouldn't be considered a DC as opposed universe. To... It wouldn't be considered like, you know, like in the universe of Batman.
That's why you said published. That's why you
specified.
Specified.
So Ozymandias, he's a former good guy. He's about to cause nuclear war, and Rorschach and Night Owl go to confront him in his lair all the way up in Antarctica, and they're like, or is that down in Antarctica? I think it's down. And so they're going there. They're gonna stop him, and they have this exchange.
Yeah, Santa would be up.
This again is a bit of a spoiler, but it's a cool subversion/aversion of the trope.
Humanity's savage nature will inevitably lead to global annihilation.
That's Ozymandias.
So in order to save this planet, I had to trick it with the greatest practical joke in human history.
Killing millions.
To save billions. A necessary crime.
No, we can't let you do that.
Do that, Rorschach? I'm not a comic book villain. Do you seriously think I'd explain my masterstroke to you if there were even the slightest possibility you could affect the outcome? I triggered it 35 minutes ago.
I love that scene because it calls out, number one, the trope. Number two, he refers to himself as a comic book villain, which he is. Number three, it's a nice aversion of the trope of the evil genius explains his plan to the hero. And once you know it, the hero then stops it right before it's about to happen. He's like, I'm not a comic book villain. I did it 35 minutes ago. You're right here just to watch it happen.
Self-aware.
It was so perfectly self-aware. I remember thinking that's such a brilliant moment in the theater when I saw it. So they think they're racing against the clock to stop them. They race to Antarctica to like prevent this whole nuclear war. They get there and it's like, whoops, sorry, it's already happened. It's just a great little turning it on its head.
So then what do you do?
At that point,
how do you fix that?
Spoiler, further,
that's got to be the end of scene, act two, right?
Further spoiler alert at this point. Rorschach, stop.
Hear me saying stop. Just stop.
He's so
I asked kind of as a joke.
Oh, it was you don't want to know?
Okay. I really don't care.
But he's so despondent that he tells Dr. Manhattan
he's
to kill him.
Such a frick.
And Dr. Manhattan blows him to bits.
You know what? This is like one of these movies I don't really feel like you can spoil it because it's just so absurd. Inventive, yes, but absurd. Absolutely. That was the end of act two, right?
No, that's the end of the movie.
No, I'm not your fucking thing that you just trained steamrolled with, and I asked you not to.
What's that?
Talking about your the other one. Your clip right there.
That's the end of the movie.
That was the end of the movie.
Then Dr. Manhattan shows up and blah, 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 the denouement.
All right. So it's a bleak ending.
It is a very bleak ending.
Right,
although it's also kind of hopeful because he's triggered international nuclear war.
How are you so invested in this? I just don't. It's so goofy.
He's triggered an international nuclear war, but by doing so, he has united the two nations, the Soviets and the Americans.
I did that on Twitter the other day.
Now they have a common enemy.
I did that on Twitter by infuriating both the right and the left with my ignorance on the after disaster, even though I believe it's pure genius.
What's that?
And
What are you talking about?
I was just talking about how the Illuminati might be real because at first I thought that they couldn't exist if Trump was in office.
Yeah, they would
but now that Trump's in office and now that I see how divided we are, I'm thinking maybe they are real because they're trying to slim down the population and you divided we fall and we're hating each other as a country. We're so divided right now. Maybe the Illuminati is behind Trump's in office and people misunderstood. And anyways, I saw people on the old twit box over there because now I'm on there ganging up on me, but it was from both sides.
So you're like, right.
And I saw people going, I can't believe I just agreed with the Make America Great Again. Actually, they call them MAGA people. I didn't know that.
MAGAs.
I just agreed with a MAGA person. It's like I felt like a peacemaker.
You're a uniter.
Yeah.
You feel like Ozymandias.
I felt pretty good.
That's right.
I'm like, there we go. And what the irony was, the MAGA guy was the main guy that was giving me shit was very upset with the fact that I was talking about people should come together. He's like, what do you think? That's a new idea? And it's like, well, it's not a new idea, but I'm making it happen here on Twitter.
That's right.
I didn't really rub it in his face
like
that.
Embracing your brother.
The way I tweet is I just sit back and I enjoy it and I look at it and I don't comment. But I saw it all happening.
You just cause chaos and some men just want to watch the world burn.
I'm like Butters. Mm. Yeah. South Park.
Reference lost on me.
Number three for me. Okay. This is a spoiler. If you have not seen I just hate the word spoiler. It's just I cringe when I say it.
But so you're going to give away some.
I'm going to give away some key shit that happens in Looper. So if you've not seen Looper, first of all, what the fuck's the matter with you? Second of all,
such a great movie.
Give me 30 seconds here. I'm not going to spend a lot of time unless Brian gives me shit for this one. Here we go. In 3, 2, 1. Looper, Seth's death scene, one of my favorite deaths in all movie history as well. He has 15 minutes to get. There's a clock running, Brian. He has a set amount of time to get back to where they need him to be so that he can be executed. And they are taking body parts, his body parts, as he goes. If you've seen Looper, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That scene is a race against the clock, absolutely. And one of the most terrific images I've ever seen is him walking down the street at night and his legs
disappearing.
So goddamn awful. He's already lost his nose.
It's such a great scene.
Yeah, that's Paul Dano.
That was on a top five.
Killed it as Seth.
He did.
And that's my number three. I think that was towards the top of my list of favorite death scenes. One of my favorite death scenes.
Top five amputees. I think that was my number. Yeah, number one, Seth.
Yeah, we did.
Seth, top five amputees.
All right, here we go.
Oh, such a great scene.
When we come back.
Coming up next, we will reveal the top two countdowns against the clock.
Almost
number zero.
My top two are strong.
Seeing you the other day, nothing bad at all to say, at least not what you said to me.
Anderson, we mentioned earlier in the episode, back when you and I were dating, not each other, but in the dating pool.
Right.
How much more difficult does that seem now that the fact, now that we compare it to the modern era when there's online dating? Like you had to actually meet people.
Oh, back in the day?
Yeah.
Cool. I can't tell you how many times a week I actually get very upset that I'm married because of all of the different ways I can meet people now.
Yeah, it's I totally identify. Oh, is this the rate?
They don't listen.
Okay.
Our wives don't listen.
We're talking, of course, about eHarmony. eHarmony, a sponsor that we endorse from my personal point of view. I have a couple of friends who got married after meeting on eHarmony. So when they came to me and said, how about eHarmony on the show? I'm like, absolutely. I've seen it work. I know for a fact it works. And right now, our listeners can get a free month with eHarmony when they sign up for a 3-month subscription. Enter code VAULT at checkout. Stop waiting and start your journey to a satisfying, meaningful relationship. It can be fun to play around with, like Anderson said, all the online dating apps. But when you're ready to fall in love with someone and have a meaningful relationship,
yeah, this is not a hookup
one app
site
that's built to bring you real love, eHarmony. Like Anderson said,
not a hookup site.
Come see how eHarmony can change your life. Go to eHarmony.com and get started. Enter our code VAULT at checkout. And we're back. Thank you for coming back with us. Let's get to our number two. Number two for me. Fun thing I learned about this one, and this has multiple races against the clock throughout. Talk about Minority Report. multiple. Because you know what happens? The precogs, they come up with a murder. It's about to happen. Mm-hmm. This murder is going to happen at this location, at this time. And it's usually like, you know, 8 minutes from now, 10 minutes from now, you know, 20 minutes from now, whatever it is. And the cops got to get there. They're in Baltimore. They're in D.C. And they got to get there and prevent the murder before it happens, of course. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't you know it? Tom Cruise himself, he gets fingered for the
finger.
He gets the ball comes up. Tom Cruise, Anderton, is it Ethan Anderton?
He's something. The one. John Anderton, the murderer. Yes.
Yeah, he is the murderer.
What are the chances?
What are the chances? And at one point, the officer gets the ball. It has the I guess the time. He gets the location, and he says, well, "We got 51 minutes and 28 seconds to stop this murder." And of course, it doesn't happen. It's not in real time. It happens like, you know, 11 minutes later or whatever it is.
I love when movies do real time, though. It's fantastic.
Well, this is a fun little thing. I didn't realize this, and in my research, when they say that, then they say the words, "We have 51 minutes and 28 seconds." That's the exact runtime left from the film.
How much longer?
That's weird. That's the exact runtime left from the film.
Do you think it's coincidental? Yeah, it is. I mean, they might have like guessed.
You think it's a coincidence?
Dude, you're not going to write that in unless they put it in
post. ADR. Yeah, I would imagine that's how they do it, because you're not going to know exactly with all the cuts and everything.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with the scene. Have you seen this recently? Does he say it on screen or off screen?
I should have looked at that.
Because
I'm going to guess that they were able to either
unless they just
it.
Had this poor motherfucker do like, yeah.
All right, now do 51, 31.
Yeah.
Now 51, 32.
So that's like 300 takes.
Reset everyone.
I was just a quick little side note. I was thinking about Kubrick just today. I was thinking about how he would, thank God he was born in the time that he was born, because if he was born today, he would just be a total computer nerd. Mm. And I don't know if he'd make anything. I think he'd be so obsessed with CGI.
He'd be
CGI.
An Instagram celebrity because he was a photographer. Remember?
No, he wouldn't be an Instagram. He'd be, because he was so into control and like controlling people and controlling things. He would just be like, you know, he'd be one of these computer nerds. Like, it was one of the first guys to like have like a Mac back in the day, or the Apple One or whatever. And he would just get sucked into that, and he would probably
may have never made a film.
He may not have, or he make, you know, he'd just be obsessed with CGI, which he kind of was becoming towards the end there. Mm. So yeah, I'm sorry. A little side note.
All right, number two for you. Mouse died.
You didn't really wrap up your
Minority Report. Yeah, oh, it's like the scene where spoiler alert for Minority Report, but it's the scene where Tom Cruise is going to commit his murder.
Right, yeah, and he's like racing it.
Yeah, yeah, and he's to find Leo Crow,
right?
Because Leo Crow is up in the high rise, and he has the pictures of the kids all over the bed. It's a great scene, but I figured it's almost rote to go over it. But yeah, it's a fantastic scene. Yeah, Tom Cruise, again, spoiler alert for this film that you should have seen. He changes his destiny. Remember, because what's your face is in the room, and she's like, still choose.
What about destiny?
He changes his destiny Samantha Morton's right there in the corner. Right. She's like, "You can still choose. You can still change." And he chooses not to kill him.
Right.
Then, of course, Leo Crow takes matters into his own hands.
And then the movie falls apart for me after that.
Oh.
Completely falls apart.
Really?
We're going to shut it all down because of one murder.
That's right.
Ridiculous.
That wasn't the murder, though. It was the murder of...
I know. I'm not saying that is, but I'm saying that after that happens. And they're like, there's some hypocrisy going on. Right. We must shut it all down so everyone will be murdered.
We prevented hundreds of murders, but one got through, so yeah. Shut the whole thing down.
And you know what? When I made this argument a few years ago, I went really hard in the crease with it, and I got a... You like that? I switched it from hard in the paint to hard in the crease. Speaking of which, Penguins win 7-0 today.
Big time.
Opening day of the playoffs.
Big time.
Fantastic.
Really throwing the gauntlet down.
What
seed are they this year?
It doesn't matter. They switched all around.
Oh, the reseed.
They got home ice for the first. So the argument that I got from people, they're like, well, what about the poor innocent precogs? They live a horrible existence. At least they're freed. I'm like, yeah, but there's only three.
Yeah.
And one murder,
and they are cared for. They have all the food they could, all the nutrition, all the food, all the care. They're never allowed to.
We could
sick.
Do a top five tension scenes too, right? Because a lot of these will fall in the tension, but like you think of a lot
top
of
five,
different scenes,
top five,
a lot of different
scenes,
movies,
sure,
yeah. Absolutely. And you know, this one came across my mind, but it doesn't work for this.
Mine are all going to be from A Quiet Place.
You need to settle down, because you're going to make me like that movie less.
I know, I'm sorry.
By
you know, it's okay.
Associating it with
you.
Don't
right.
do that.
It's okay. It's not the special.
I was thinking about Mission Impossible, the original one. It's a great scene where, you know, he's going down. De Palma just fucking does tension like no one else. But it's not like against a clock. They are on the time, but it's not a yes. finite. It's not a definitive amount of time. It's like that guy that's getting sick.
That's right. He keeps threatening to come back in.
Yeah, and he keeps going. So it doesn't work for this, because it's against like a clock of unknown time. But you know what is known? Known. Once the door is open, Brian, you got to start the hourglass. Pan's Labby, the Pale Man scene with the hourglass. We don't see clock ticking. We see hourglass sand.
Okay, you know what? That's a primitive clock.
Hourglass.
That's right.
Sand slipping like what's the Days of Our Lives thing?
Like
sands of time.
Like sands through the hourglass, or
do you know it, Logan?
Yeah, like sand through the hourglass. These are the Days of Our Lives.
You watch this with your mom when you were a kid.
Yeah. Sick days.
Very, very sad.
It is a fantastic scene. If you have not seen Pan's Labyrinth, and first of all, you're in my world, you're committing a crime if you're going on and on about Lady in the Water and how great it is, and you've never seen Pan's Labyrinth. Like that would get you locked up.
Who does that?
You. Not Lady in the Water, Shape of Water. Oh. Shape of Water. If you're out there going, Shape of Water is my favorite film of last year, and it's been a number of months now, and you still haven't gone back to investigate Pan's Labyrinth. If I ruled the world, you would be locked up for not a long time, maybe 3 months.
But enough to think about what you've done.
Yeah, 3 months
enough
worth.
To watch Pan's Labyrinth.
I'd have a bunch of movies you'd have to watch. That would be my prison. Like you would go in and you would
your time
solitary confinement.
Yeah, you're like, you know, your time is up to you. You got to watch all these films.
If people just threw books in to the people in solitary confinement, I don't know if they go crazy. Just give them a couple books. They can't kill themselves.
A few
with
pages.
Books. Yeah, or a movie, or two a day. You know, I'd like that.
That'd be nice.
But yeah, so she goes in to the Pale Man's realm.
Earned your way into solitary confinement.
Pan's Labyrinth is a beautiful film, and it's half fantasy, half horrific reality. They're both actually pretty horrific. It's Franco's world, and then it's Pan's world.
Generalissimo Francisco Franco.
And she follows these rules that she gets out of this book, and when she goes into Pale Man's, probably the
fantasy
most
stuff for me is just out of this world. Great. The real world stuff is good.
It's great.
It's good.
It's very good.
It's good.
If we were to do top five disturbing scenes, I think one of mine might be from the real world in Pan's Labyrinth.
Really? What scene?
It involves a straight razor in a man's face.
Oh yeah.
Holy fuck.
That's a problem.
So listen to me. Pan's Labyrinth. A little girl, she has to go in and she has to follow rules. She's got gremlin type rules. Not allowed to eat anything while she's in this little fortress. She's got to get a key. It's almost like a video game. A little player one like. Ready Player One. And she's got to open the key and do not eat anything. And first thing she sees, she's really hungry because she lives in a war-torn part of the world. So she goes into this magical world with a chalk. She draws a chalk, opens the door, starts hourglass, and there's this bountiful feast and this long, long table in front of this pale man who has no eyes. They're sitting on a plate in front of him. He's very grotesque and naked and thin and has like the jowls. Oh, if we're to top five jowly white man, jowly he might actually show up.
Jowly.
And some little fairies come and they help her out. Little cute fairies. And they're telling her what to do, and there's the key, and they're over there, and she gets what she needs. She's about to bail, and the pale man sitting at the end of the table, not moving a muscle, head down, eyes on a plate in front of him, and then the little bitch
just swipes
sees
some, food.
Some yeah, grapes, right. And she's like, and all the food that was on the table, she chooses a grape, she eats a grape, and
maybe she thought, oh, it's so small, no one will notice.
Pale man awakes, puts those eyes in his hands, right. In his palms, which this might be the most iconic scene in the movie, so I'm not giving that much away. And then he puts the palms up to his head. This comes from a sketch from Guillermo del Toro's Twisted Mind, which you gotta love. Guillermo del Toro's actually, it doesn't matter. And as a result of her eating the grape, the poor little fairies get fucking chewed down and eaten by the Pale Man. Logan, have you seen Pan's Labyrinth? Okay.
Been a long time, though.
It's so good.
I wanted to rewatch it.
So she, the hourglass, the sand, it goes right through her fingers, and it the last grain falls, but luckily, I'll leave it at that if you have not seen
okay. it. Okay. Pale Man.
So she does run out of town.
Quite horrific.
Yeah, and you know, we're cutting back to the hourglass, how much time is left, and this thing is coming after her, and it's
God, I forgot that it was an hourglass writhing, factored in.
Writhing about. Yeah. Horrifying, horrifying, horrifying. It's my number two.
My number one.
How do we switch? I thought I was going last. I thought you were going last to me.
I can if you want to.
No, that's all right.
Okay. Number one for me. Came up on the show once or twice today. You said it was impossible to find. It's not. What? Galaxy Quest.
Are you kidding me?
I found the clip. The clip, it's called...
You are such a good poker player.
Logan,
you
on YouTube, it's called Galaxy Quest Countdown. Like, it could not be titled really? More obvious. Yes, there's a clip on YouTube. It's not a perfect clip because it kind of cuts off.
I found a ton of Galaxy Quest stuff, but not that.
So it's almost silly to say spoiler alert because it's
and it's like in the middle of the movie. It's yeah, not like it's not the even, end of the
yeah,
movie.
So don't worry about it. But if for some reason you haven't seen Galaxy Quest, shame on you. That's a fun
that's how
movie.
Different we are. Because if I found it, I know I would have put it at number 5 to kind of set the
oh really
the set the tone because it's kind of like goofing on this trope.
It is, and I love it so much because it is goofing on the trope and it's calling it out and it's also kind of subverting it at the same time where so yes Galaxy Quest is if you're not familiar for some reason the cast of a Star Trek style TV show is taken by aliens who have seen the show beamed into space and think they're real like you know space heroes and of course there's Hollywood actors and so Tim Allen and Sigourney Weaver have at one point so there's a whole space adventure that takes place at one point they
aliens
have
been communicating with the Earth for years and years well, not one-way communication yeah, they've just been receiving our UHF essentially, our television programs, and they believe them to be documentaries. So they come to Earth thinking that this horrible Star Trek type show that they've been watching is true
she
and
said,
real, and they need help.
All that
I know, but you said it in kind of a way you don't, because I think there's a lot of people who have not given Galaxy Quest a
it's
shot.
It's a fun
and it's
movie,
fantastic.
And at one point,
it's so good.
Tim Allen and Sigourney Weaver, essentially the you know Captain Kirk and Uhura. Was that who it was? Am I messing that up?
I'm terrible with names.
I think it's Uhura of the show. They need to stop the self destruct sequence, right? Of course, their ship has a self destruct sequence.
Sigourney Weaver,
and they stop it with plenty of time left, like 20 seconds left. Mm-hmm.
But 17, I think, right?
Whatever it is, it's 15, 20 seconds left. They stop it plenty of time. Then it starts counting down again.
Why did I just get 17?
Then it starts counting down again. And they're like, "What's? Oh, play the clip. Let's see.
Oh, you got the clip?
Yeah.
Well, we can find out what time it is.
Estimated in 10 seconds.
It's not
9.
Gwen, I...
8. 7.
And they have a tender moment.
6. 5.
They hug.
4.
Oh, this is the second half.
3.
They embrace.
2. 1.
It stops at 1 second.
Right. But it already stopped before this. Yes.
Yes, they stopped it at 20 or whatever it was, and they started going.
Who stops at 1 on the show?
They modeled.
What were you saying?
Of course, he leaves.
The aliens
they modeled won. The self-destruct button after how it worked on the show, which
right,
is
so when they got
if it's going to stop, it stops at 1. So they stopped it at 20 seconds. Like, oh, plenty of time. All of a sudden, it starts counting down again. Like, oh, this is the end.
Such a fun movie. So
they embrace, like, oh, I've always loved you.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then, of course, things stop at 1.
It's like
and
when
Tim
the plane's
Allen,
going down.
Tim Allen
almost famous.
Books. He's like, let's go. And he's like, wait, you were saying something. It's a great movie. It's a fun movie. Galaxy Quest, number
Sam
1.
Sam Rockwell killing it.
I can't believe Tony Shalhoub, right? Was Tony
Shalhoub? Yeah, Tony
yeah, and Alan Rickman's fantastic. Ah, oh, even Justin Long is not too bad.
All right, well, I'm glad you had that on your list.
Yeah.
However, we're going to end with a movie that I would hazard a guess to say that 100% of our listeners have seen Back to the Future.
I would imagine so.
1985. Not Steven Spielberg. Of those 100% of our listeners, even our well-informed listeners, I would imagine that 20 to 30% of them would credit Steven Spielberg for directing Back to the Future,
no.
Not the case. He used to slather his name on every big movie back in the 80s because he produced everything.
This is the very underrated but Robert Zemeckis.
Robert Zemeckis directed Back to the Future. And this scene, the clock tower scene, which most all of us are very familiar, one of the probably the most iconic scenes in all of
a classic
history.
Race against the clock.
But, you know, it's such an important moment in the entire movie, obviously in the entire universe, that he has to get back. He's got one shot, ridiculous, absurd a moment. They know what minute it happened, assuming that the clock tower clocked.
This movie's so fucking perfectly written. My only plot hole with this movie is there's a 60-second window.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they know what minute it stopped at. They don't know what second it stopped at.
Right.
There's a 60-second window right there.
And they're assuming that clock is very, very accurate.
Right.
What if it's a few minutes back?
They know when it stops. They don't need it to be accurate. They just need it to know the minute it stopped on. But once it hits that minute,
there's
then
some
you have
slack.
A 60-second window.
There's some slack on the rope. So like
no,
once
there's
it makes
not.
Contact,
there's
there could be.
There need,
maybe there is.
There, that's, there my, that's my plot hole. There yeah. should have. You're right. There should have been slack on it because he needs to make connection right at that moment.
Which of course
is more dramatic from a movie making point of view.
Of course.
But if you want to be a little bit more accurate, just give him a little bit of slack. Let the guy drive.
There would have to be 60 seconds worth of slack.
At least 30 seconds.
But the level of tension that it gets increased as the scene comes to its climax is first the tree. Gets hit by lightning, right? And the branch falls,
yeah,
and,
that's right.
And it disconnects, and that makes Doc very concerned because now
he has the whole thing on top before that happens. Remember, he's trying to make the connection, and then
that's after.
No, he slides down and fixes the tree.
Oh my God, Brian, this is my number one. So stop. Okay, all right, just stop it. So first, the branch falls and disconnects the wire, and he's like, "Oh,
okay, yes."
He freaks out. Yeah. Quiet your mouth. Just make it quiet.
Hold on.
Then, good old Marty. Takes off, right, and flips a bitch, and he's thinking about a way to save Doc, and there's a whole backstory from, you know, before with
there's
the terrorists.
There's a B story going, actually a C story.
That shot him from the van earlier, which every time I see that scene, I think about the poor guy's ribs, the stunt driver, or stunt...
Which one?
...actor. They're out of the sunroof, and they're...
Oh, the Libyans?
The Libyans, and the car...
He really takes it hard.
I think he might have broken a rib. I think about that. Every time I see that, it's like,
Only Anderson, the poor Libyans.
So then the car, the DeLorean, because it's a fucking DeLorean, it decides to sputter out, right. And now... Not only is it disconnected, the wire's disconnected, the clock tower, but the DeLorean is fucked. Oh, what's he going to do? And thank God Marty, quick goat thinking, he actually hits the steering wheel with his head.
That's some quick goat thinking.
Yeah. And so then he's back on track to get up to 88 miles an hour and hit it right at the right time. And all Doc has to do is plug it back in. And he's finally there, and then he realizes, oh no, because of the branch,
there's not enough slack.
Yeah. So little boy Andy watching this in the theater, I'm thinking, well, Marty's just fucked. He's going to have to stay and fuck his mom. He's going to have to bang his mom. Like, that's going to be his existence. It's going to be awful for him. But lo and behold, Doc does essentially a zip line, and he goes down there just in the nick of time, and enough to get electricity through his entire body, which I guess kind of gave him like more vitality and youth, probably.
Well, you can also imagine that Doc was a little more eccentric by the time, you know, he is in 1985 than he was in 1955.
Because of the electricity, perhaps. Yes. And all is well.
That's one of those movies that I pick up something new almost every time I see it. I remember the time, it wasn't even that long ago, where I realized, remember when... It's 1955, Doc's setting everything up earlier in the evening, and the cop comes by. He's like, what are you working on here? He's like, oh, there's a weather experiment. And he's like, you got a permit for that? And he's like, of course I do. And he pulls out his wallet. I didn't realize he was paying the cop off. Like, he was, like, bribing him. He's like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
You didn't realize that either, did you?
Of course I realized.
You didn't realize either,
did you? What did you think? He was getting this permit out of his wallet?
Thought he was getting a permit out. I'm so innocent and naive. But I'm saying, it's one of those things I picked up on later.
Did you realize that Biff also became... submissive in the alternate universe.
Yeah, he had a car. Alternate he had a future. Car waxing business.
Remember that?
And he called. He called Mr. McFly.
You realize
Mr.
that?
Mr. McFly. Hi, Marty.
You realize that Crispin Glover wasn't Crispin Glover in the second one?
Wait, what?
You realize that? Did you realize that the guy that sweeped up the diner became the mayor? Did you realize that?
Goldie. So now you're just messing with me.
The fact that it took you that long to realize.
I'm very, very nice.
You realize that
I've never bribing a cop.
She thought his name was Calvin Klein because of his underwear.
You ever tried to bribe a cop?
No, I did pay a cop though.
Oh,
because that's the way they do it, like in Utah or something. Like I was allowed to just pay the fucking thing right there.
Bribed a security guard,
dude. That's nice. You what?
Bribed a security guard.
Did you?
Dude, that guy pocketed
a hand job.
No, get a weed into a concert.
Oh, really?
Oh, actually, I bribed a security guard too. Not for weed.
Well, he found it, told me to go throw it away, but then he's like, "Oh, you can just give me." Give me a little something.
Oh, that fucking asshole.
I know. He was
fuck
dead.
That guy. What an asshole.
It's a fucking Blink-182 concert, too.
You got to be high.
You're probably the only person smoking weed.
Possibly.
Their concerts are so much fun.
They're fun.
I did see them at the K-Rock.
Good drum solos.
No, it's just good shit talking as they skip back and forth.
Well, that was when they were fun.
They're not anymore.
No, this was when they find some when Jesus. They hated each other.
All right.
That's it. Number one.
I don't have any ulcer ends because, but yeah, that scene, it's iconic, but it's one of the greatest. Holy shit. How are they going to make this work? There's so many things going wrong.
You know, it was on my list until I watched the scene. I was like, oh yeah, I hate this movie. Is it Heathers?
Why do you hate Heathers?
Heathers sucks.
God damn it. You're such
Heathers
a...
is made for,
hey, you know what?
Oh, you're older than me. You probably like Heathers.
Yeah. Heathers is fine. Heathers is a fantastic movie. When you were a kid, like of age, you know, 12, 13, 14, even 15, maybe, do I hazard and say 16, 17? You ever have posters of cars on your wall?
Cars, the Disney movie?
No,
I'm not a car guy.
No, I see you having like Rolls Royce or Opulence or something.
Oh no, it was all sports and then movies in college. All throughout my youth, it was sports though.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I see you as like liking that opulent lifestyle.
Oh God, What? You don't know anything about me.
I know plenty about your cheese, wine.
I enjoy the finer things.
Oh, fuck me.
No, I grew up very, very normal. Very, very normal. I was into sports. I had like Jose Canseco posters. I did. Mm-hmm. Only the finer things.
Why are you an Oakland A's fan?
The reason is because my first Little League team was the Oakland A's. I know, and I was like,
I was on the fucking Yankees. That didn't make me a Yankee fan.
I would say I've talked to a lot of people about this, and I always say, like, you know how like your first Little League team is always kind of like your first favorite team? Like, yeah. Nope. And you really didn't, you had no affinity for the Yankees?
I was a giant Pirate fan because my dad, from the time I was like 2, yeah, I hated the Yankees.
By the time I got a little older,
I was really pissed that plus our uniforms were green and it made no sense.
By the time I got older in high school and like I start going to games by myself or with my friends, I should say, we went to a ton of Giants games. They're the local team.
Okay, I'm so bored with this conversation. Okay, let's move on. I just pictured, because in watching Wild Wild Country, like at one point, he had Osho had a.
Ocho?
Osho is what his name eventually becomes. He had, I think,
Ocho Cinco.
I think 90 Rolls Royces. Like, he lived an opulent lifestyle. Yeah. And I was thinking, like,
where
I
did
could
the
see,
money come from?
Just the 80s were such a weird place. It's such a weird time. Like, everything was about, like, just cocaine and money and opulence and greed is good. It's so weird. It's such a weird time. And then, like, the 90s became, like, yeah, that's gross.
The rejection of all that.
Yeah. And I in the 80s, when I came to be, I was totally anti all that because that was the norm, I guess, and I was always counterculture.
I was too young for all that. By the time I got a car, it was 1993, and it was my parents' Toyota station wagon. Mm-hmm. That's the car I drove in high school.
That's like the car that you look like you should drive.
my friend Brian, also named Brian, they called me Bish, and he's like, Bish, where's the wife and kids?
That's pretty good.
14 years old. I guess 15 at that point.
I think you're 16, probably.
That was a learner's permit name.
All right, let's get out of here.
Let's do the list of your top five.
All right, number 5. Solid 5 this week because a lot of listeners contributed.
Nice.
Number 5, Gone in 60 Seconds.
Some good scenes in there, for sure.
And I wasn't able to specify scenes because...
Oh, you weren't.
Well, I tweeted early in the morning, so...
Didn't I send you a text earlier and you said you had a problem?
Like 2 hours ago.
But you said you had a problem.
Well,
you
got a listener top 5.
He's got 5.
Okay.
I just couldn't retweet it or anything, or tweet change it.
No, but I thought you got like a bunch of, you could just filter out the ones that are like whatever.
I assume that's what he did.
They kind of are. Yeah. Wait,
60 seconds.
I'd say most movies are Race Against the Clock scenes as opposed to the entire movie. I would think the minority is having the whole movie about it.
We will see. Because I came up with plenty and they're good ones.
Number 4, Fifth Element.
Race against the movie, 48 Hours. Right.
Number 3, Escape from New York, yeah.
That's a race against the movie. Yeah. These are
number
exactly
2,
what I didn't want
Back
to
the Future.
That's a race against the movie. It doesn't work at all. Joking.
And the number 1, Race Against the Clock, as voted on by our listeners, is Run Lola Run.
It's a whole movie. So 4 of the 5. I know, Brian said that was... It's all right. We'll do this down the road.
We appreciate the
all those that
Logan, save those votes for the next time.
That's pretty much my top 5 list for when we do that.
Well, I got some good ones
I got some other ones that were not.
You know, I bridled myself. Anderson was Alien and Aliens. There's a
really
great
good
countdown scene.
Yep.
Great countdown.
Very
scene
good.
In those. All right, you want to do some gambling?
Let's do it.
Last week you gambled on Blockers.
Oh, Christ.
At the time, the Rotten Tomatoes score was 88%. Anderson bid 52, and Brian 33. Currently, the week
did it
after
go
its
down
release,
by 50 points.
Rotten Tomatoes score for Blockers has gone down to 82%, making Anderson the winner.
Woo, you're on some kind of streak, buddy.
I like it. I feel good about it.
What am I saying?
It feels right. Now, I've been taking. It took me long enough to actually come up with this, and I don't know why I didn't do it earlier, and I have guilt for it. But I finally have a list going now of movies.
About time.
I know.
I have a list for you, too, that I started a long time ago.
Do you?
Well, I mean, I stopped keeping up with it when you stopped checking it, but...
Oh, a list for me, for him?
Yeah, I had a Google Doc for both of you.
My Google, my G Drive is pretty cluttered. A lot of stuff going on there.
A lot of grouper stuff.
You seen Snake Plissken?
I have, actually. Mm-hmm. I think you actually assigned it to me.
You seen The Machine?
The Machine?
And Nicolas Cage getting together for a little Come to Daddy. Come to Daddy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
8mm?
No, I saw Snake Eyes.
Oh, very, very different.
Very different.
Oh, you're going to enjoy some 8mm.
I don't think I like Snake Eyes.
Snake Eyes has a great opening scene.
It does.
It's back when John Woo, what happened to him?
I'm Ricky.
Two weeks in a row. From Nicolas Cage doing his thing.
I'm Ricky.
8mm is a dark, fucked up movie.
Let's not watch it.
And Aphex Twin has a little song there at the end, and the machine is also involved. And I think it's going to disturb you a little bit, but it's an enjoyable. Joel Schumacher, Brad.
Oh, fun.
Well, he's just a chameleon. You never know what you're getting from Joel. Hey, what happened to Joel Schumacher and Woo? What happened to those guys?
John Woo's been laying low.
I bet he's still making tons of movies.
Who
like,
are you? Woo.
Don't do that. All right, cool. So you dodged a Pink Flamingo's bullet.
Oh, great.
Good for you, buddy.
So I'm going to watch Galaxy Quest.
8mm. 8mm.
Yeah, John Woo hasn't produced anything since 2011.
Or directed.
Damn.
Well, yeah. Well, he's directing something right now.
Like Asian?
No, he directed something called Manhunt in 2017.
I think it was Asian.
Manhunt.
And then he's directing something right now called 8.5.
Ooh, that's close to 8mm. And is it have anything to do with Fellini's?
They are Asian films. Action movies.
So he went back like to his hard-boiled roots.
8mm is what you're talking about?
8mm, yes. You've seen 8mm?
No.
Yeah.
Logan, you have a Hulu subscription?
Uncut.
I'm going to have to borrow that.
It's Hulu subscription. You make more than I do on the show.
It's like it's like really dark, gritty stuff that like is too much for your mom, but not too much for you.
What was the last movie I saw? It was the one you assigned me, The Weatherman, also Nicolas Cage, that was streaming on Showtime. And I was like, you know what? I'd rather just pay $3.
Why?
They get a Showtime subscription.
Oh, well, yeah.
Free trial. No, it was a free trial for like 7 days. I was like, eh, I'd rather just pay $3.
You forget. And this
exactly. It's going to cost you more in the long run. 8mm streaming on Amazon for $2.99.
It's a fun one. I really liked it. I saw it twice in the theaters.
Really?
Yeah, a little Joaquin Phoenix action there.
Joaquin?
Get you in the Joaquin.
Joaquin?
For the I'm Not Still Here, whatever the fuck that movie's called, that I'm going to love, and I can't remember the title ever. It's the worst title ever. You were never really here?
I'm not there.
See, he was in that, and that's totally different. And then there's the one about everyone.
The Bob Dylan movie?
Yes, awful. Todd Haynes.
Luckily, I didn't see either one.
I saw them both. All right, let's get out of here.
All right, this week you're gambling.
You think if Joaquin Phoenix dies that the New York Post is going to have a headline that says Walking Dead?
I can imagine some people think that's funny.
Or Joaquin no longer here, something like that.
Did you get the Walking Dead reference?
Oh, yeah, I got it.
Okay, that's good.
Of course. How do you not get that?
Because he followed up with Joaquin no longer here.
That is a good point. Why would you follow up
with that? Well, because his movies are kind of titled like that. I'm not here. I'm not there. I don't know.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. I'm glad I asked because now it makes sense. That makes totally sense.
Doesn't make total sense.
It does because he's in two movies. Sense. He's in two movies about not being here anymore.
Almost a third.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm still here. I'm not there. I was never really here. You're never really there. The fucking the Todd Haynes movie. I'm not there, but that has nothing to do with Joaquin. I don't think he's not in there.
Look it up. I doubt it.
This week you're gambling on Rampage.
He's not there.
This looks amazing.
I mean, I'm this excited for a movie.
I mean, if it's as good as the video game, and
dude, I played the shit out of that video game when I was a kid. Wow, I wasted a lot of time in Reno casinos with my brother playing that game. Because they play two-player mode.
You're joking, but you're not.
Oh, that's a fun game.
No, about the movie.
I don't joke on this show.
Because like a couple years ago, like you would be pumped about this movie.
Little Brian is pretty excited. I'm talking about my penis.
You're talking about your dick?
Yeah, of course. Rampage. That's pretty tight.
That's another joke that was in. Never mind. Rampage.
I have a number in my mind.
All right, just fucking put it on the paper then.
Oh, what's your number?
37.
68.
What?
I don't think Dwayne Johnson's in bad movies anymore.
Yeah.
Not even Central Intelligence was that bad.
This looks terrible.
The week before its release with 59 reviews,
it does look pretty bad.
Score for Rampage is 46%.
Fuck, tight. Did you see the trailer for this?
Off by 22 points.
Why would you?
I don't know. I mean, I thought it was... I thought maybe it would be like tongue-in-cheek, self-aware, dumb fun.
No, it doesn't look like that at all. It's self-aware.
Like, of course, the thing flies.
Mm. But it doesn't look funny. Like it's self-aware in a bad way. In a self-aware, like obvious, dumb way. Like not even a clever way. It's like, yeah, I'm just a piece of shit movie. So what?
It's almost like the producers were laughing when they came up with the idea to make a Rampage movie about a game with no plot.
Like, how did that happen? Like, this the entity that they that is producing it owns that video game?
I
and
think Rampage was that popular of a game, wasn't it?
It wasn't. It was always in the arcade.
It was great, but...
It was always one of the games in the arcade.
For this generation?
No, in the 80s.
Yeah, it feels like...
I know,
yeah.
But I mean, like, this generation, who knows what Rampage is?
No, they don't. Maybe they're going to reboot it.
Are there still arcades? That's a stupid question. Are there still arcades?
They do have a modern version of it in arcades. But like
not ironic ones for adults. I mean, like, are there kids' arcades?
Yeah, well, Dave and Buster's is kind of the closest thing you have to an arcade.
They got like a bunch of hipster bars and stuff that I grab.
That's not what I'm talking about. I've been to one of those.
Esports arenas are going to be the new thing.
It's gay.
It's not gay. It's sweet.
No, it's literally gay.
Literally gay. Oh, really? Like, people are like fucking
you can just tell.
Like, dudes are playing pinball with each other?
No ball. Just letting the thing go.
VR experiences, too.
I don't know what that means. Feel like if I was running for office, I should not be a part of this conversation, though.
Thank you for tuning in, everyone. Are we done?
Wait, hang on. Speaking
dudes
gambling.
Just having sweaty sex on the cabinets.
What are you doing?
I challenged you on Twitter.
Oh, you did? So, Logan, here's the problem.
Who cares? Hey, do you actually use that drop?
What? Which one?
Do you use what drop? Care drops?
No, he doesn't. No. I was just fucking with you.
Because that was upsetting on Twitter.
It's one of mine now, but I don't use it. Logan, I have no problem.
I was watching The Simpsons a couple days ago. Sorry. And the fucking boring drop that I used... Probably over 1,000 times.
Boring.
Was on.
But Homer has said that more than once.
It was the episode that I pulled it from. One? Though. Yeah, because there's a couple other drops that I pulled from that episode.
I'm the big boy. Was that the same one?
I'm a big boy.
I'm a big boy.
I'm a big boy. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Logan, I love the idea of this wager, but you understand that, like, you saying before Black Panther came out that Avengers were going to make more money is like saying the Warriors are going to win the championship.
That's
last
why I gave
year.
You the long shot on you. If you lose, you only have to watch two movies. I could potentially have to watch seven. So
I feel like this is now I need to watch half a movie and you need to watch like a dozen. You understand what I'm saying?
But you have the long shot. So if you win, I have a heavier punishment than you do.
It needs to be significantly heavier. I took an extreme long shot.
It could be 2 to 7 movies.
Right, what do you want the stakes to be? What are you proposing?
We can reconvene then.
What are you proposing?
Okay, so just to recap, this all happened on Twitter.
We talked about it on the show, didn't we?
We talked about it on the show, and then this morning I came across an article that reminded me of it. And it's basically saying that Avengers has outsold the last 7 Marvel movies in pre-sales.
Right.
Combined. And so I tweeted at you like, hey, so I think I'm gonna win.
You're feeling good about your bet.
Yeah, feeling good
about your prediction.
Anyway, Avengers will outsell Black Panther in the box office in the long run.
Wait. Okay, go ahead.
And so I bet you that if Avengers outsells, you have to watch the 2 Michael Bay Ninja Turtle movies.
Are those from the 90s?
No, they're from they're like the past 5 years.
Oh, I saw the first one.
Toe Thumb.
Well, then you're already halfway there.
I know.
Jamie Foxx in it, right?
And then if Black Panther outsells Avengers, then you get to choose an entire Bond run from one actor.
Okay.
So it could be Sean Connery. Yeah. It could be
Megan
Chris Brosnan.
Megan Fox is in it, right? Isn't she in it?
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
She's April O'Neil. Yeah.
Called her Jamie Foxx. Holy fuck.
Megan Fox. Okay, that's reasonable.
All right, good. So what are the stakes here? If
Black Panther outsells Avengers, I got to watch an entire Bond run from one actor.
We need to establish, is it going to be domestic box office or worldwide box office?
I'll let you choose.
Worldwide?
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. And
they're probably going to both be the same.
By the time both come out on DVD in the States.
Okay, so this will be
like 6 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, not even that. Yeah. Like, I'd say.
When do you think Avengers coming out?
Probably midsummer.
The thing that
how much you want to bet that it comes out on video before?
Pre-sales beat all 7 combined?
The past 7 Marvel movies combined.
Now, are pre-sales more prevalent and more readily available now?
I think because the movie's so hyped up that people want to make sure they get a seat opening weekend.
Why?
My guess is that it's going to have open really, really, really big, but I don't think it's going to have a sustained run.
Here's where I think you have a chance is... There was really nothing that was able to take down Black Panther for the first 6 or 7 weeks because there was no other movies out. Whereas we have Solo coming out within 2 or 3 weeks after Avengers. So there's where you might have an advantage.
But fewer people are going to see movies as well, I think, when Black Panther came out.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's why I think he has the advantage.
I think more people are
more people will be like, oh, I might as well go see Black Panther. Everyone's seen Black Panther.
But fewer people.
By volume.
Yeah, there's fewer per capita. Like, there's fewer people actually going out to theaters, whereas summertime, everyone goes out to movies. So even if Solo comes along, there's still going to be a ton of people.
It was such a like, you know, big social
deal. Here's the thing.
Deal.
What the fuck? That's the thing.
Anderson, cut into the quick.
I mean, this is what we're excited about as far as movies. I mean, come on. Come on, guys.
So I'm not going to choose Daniel Craig, because you've certainly seen a couple of the
I've probably seen the most of Daniel Craig.
You got to go Sean Connery. Yeah. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Of course, the guy that made the most of them.
Roger Moore might have made more movies.
I think
movies.
It was tied. I looked it up this morning. I'm like, who made the most?
How do grown adults see the trailer for Avengers and get excited?
If I do Sean Connery, I'm not going to sign You Never Say Never.
Why?
Like over 10
it's
years in the
so
making.
It's so goofy.
Because you've...
It's fucking goofy shit.
If you watched all, what, like 18
you remember
movies at
them?
Point now?
You remember
you
all of
see
them?
Them all together?
Oh, boy. They're all fucking playing like I'm Green Girl and I'm going to fly with a cape guy.
I want to see Star-Lord bantering with Thor.
What's with the Spider-Man where like every creed has their own Spider-Man? There's many different Spider-Mans. Mm. What's that one?
Oh, that's an animated movie.
Yeah. What's that about? How many Spider-Mans are there? And there's a black
Spider-Man.
One, and there's an Asian.
It was Stan Ariza because no one ever found that spider. The spider would go around biting everyone.
Oh, that's a good point.
Comic book characters have been rebooted over and over again in comics, so this is just them trying to try something new in film.
I do. It all makes sense to me, and this is the culmination of a never-before-tried thing that succeeded wildly, so of course it's going to be a big event.
The fucking dude that's in the crux of the Avengers movie, like some Rockman guy who was just a cartoon. Who is that guy?
Well, that's the ultimate. That's Thanos.
Who's Thanos? And why am I supposed to care?
They've been teasing him since, what, like Iron Man 2?
Is he a Rockman?
He's a fucking cartoon.
They did
the
kind of botch. They did botch the look.
It's the purple dude, yes. Yeah. I am the man that you are all going to fight. And guess what? You are going to win, and I'm going to lose, and everyone's going to be happy.
So he's obsessed with Death, who's like... she takes a female form in the comics, kind of. Uh-huh. He's in love with her. He's obsessed with her. And so to
was
win
she
her,
Thor? Was she
win,
the
to
chicken
win her
Thor
favor,
with the
he
horns?
Goes around trying to destroy the entire universe.
Did they bang?
No, I didn't get that far, actually.
It's just unbelievable that this is what
movie making has come to.
It's just unfucking believable. But I guess, you know, like I said before, 20 years ago, what was it? It was probably like Bruce Willis, you know.
Yeah, blowing up asteroids.
Or Fast and the Furious type stuff. You know, whatever.
You know what, Anderson? It's funny because there's an obvious way to sort of crap on super comic book movies, I guess you want to call them, like, you know, for obvious reasons. But let's take a step back and say this is a very ambitious thing that was never even tried before, let alone thought possible.
Superman.
But that's my point. You would never bring together Superman and Batman, let alone an entire universe, to develop over the course of a decade plus all these characters.
But it can't be everybody. They're leaving some Marvel. There's got to be like Tick Man or...
I'm
like
sure there's, yeah, I'm sure there's.
Q-Tip Boy or something. There's shit that's not in there,
when
sure.
Like when the Civil War comics came out, no one ever thought that... Comic book fans
in
never thought
50s,
they would see that in
right?
the movie. They'd be like, it would be too expensive to get all these big-name superheroes into one movie. And so, but now it's actually happening.
Yeah, and to use A-list actors for pretty much every major and minor part.
So that they're not making good stuff. They're running around with green screens and wires
like
connected
said,
to their ass and flying through the air.
Like I said, there's obvious ways to crap on this.
Mm. Talked about Hurt Locker, and now we got fucking Jeremy Renner running around with a
bow and arrow.
Jesus Christ. Is this the end, though? Do we get to finish now? Do we get to be done?
I'm pretty sure it'll be all done.
They shot this one and then the fourth one together, and then this incarnation of the MCU will be done.
I'm sure it's all done.
Then they get into New Avengers, which is like...
Oh, New Avengers. Oh, okay.
Captain Marvel.
But like the main four heroes will be done after this one.
It's just confusing.
There will be a Black Panther sequel.
Confusing.
Believe that.
Shocking, Logan. That is a bold statement.
You know what? I would bet that there won't. You want to bet that there won't?
I bet you. You know what? Hamburgers are going to sell well tomorrow.
They're already greenlit
at McDonald's. I think that McDonald's is going to sell some good hamburgers. All right, let's get out of here.
Thank you guys for listening to this very long episode. Hopefully
was
we
it
delivered. Feels like it was long. Thanks for listening. Check out our Patreon discussion on the spoiler filled discussion of Quiet Place. It was
that was
a
spirited fun, and we covered a lot of ground in that movie too. I I picked everything that I had problems with, and we talked about a lot of the things that we loved as well.
We agreed on certain things the characters maybe should have considered.
Hey, I haven't mentioned it at all yet, and that's bad on me. I'm stupid if I don't at least mention it at the top of each show. But if you want to come out and see a movie that has nothing to do with comic book heroes, but it does have some colorful, fun characters, Groupers will be coming to a few cities around here. They're all available for purchase over at groupersthemovie.com. You'll find all the cities over there, a number of them. Most importantly, I should say, because it's the first one coming up soonest, it was the Los Angeles, June 2nd. So please, I'm working my ass off on this thing and getting close to it being done. It will be done. I got confirmation on that.
Very
thank
exciting.
God. And well, one thing you can do to help is to buy a ticket and come out. It's going to be very, very fun. And it might be the only time that this actually happens. So
enjoy.
Yeah.
Where do they go?
GroupersTheMovie.com. Which takes you to AndersonCowan.com.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for
doing that. It's a Marvel universe.
Thank you for extended universe.
Yeah.
Thanks to Chad J. He did the listener art this week. Thank you, Chad.
Should I do my Billy Madison? Should I do my Billy Madison impression?
Yes. Is that Logan in the
Stop looking at me, Bean? I'm sorry, go ahead. You're good. It's such a great scene. Shampoo is Bald Brian is better. I go on first and clean the hair.
But Anderson is better. This is a cinematic and all movies make me cry.
Why you gotta fuck with me like that?
Stop looking at me, Bean.
Bald Brian is better. He hates movies and makes racist jokes. That's what it says. Aren't you gonna go over this?
He hates movies.
It makes racist jokes.
I really take offense that you think I hate movies.
I get it. I saw the direction you're going there. It's pretty good, Brian. Yes, and.
Thanks, Chad. That's good. Check it out at AndersonandBrian.com. AndersonandBrian.com is where you go to see our featured artists. They are the Sanderlings. Are these them this week? Union Specific, Marius Pax Cow, 5880, The Coalition, and Mother Bell. Thanks, you guys. Yes, we mentioned Patreon. Check it out at AndersonandBrian.com. There's a link. The Film Vault on Twitter and Facebook is where you go to vote, suggest a top five if you'd like to. Coming up soon, a couple of weeks, we're going to have our big summer preview.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, big time.
You know what's going to be top of my list?
What's that?
Avengers. Fuck yeah. So good.
You don't know it's going to be good. And until then,
they're all together.
That's true.
They're all together. They're running all towards the same enemy on the same field.
It's like it's
like
purple.
It's like the all-stars of all my favorite comic books together.
It feels like you're not being genuine.
We do it for Van Gogh. Just one more.